Fella, you don't start playing ball at your age, you retire.
Yours, mine, theirs. Hi, welcome to Yours, Mine, and Theirs. I'm John, and hopefully I can knock this podcast out of the park before my stomach explodes. Who's with me?
Hey, everybody. This is Roy, and someday people will be listening on their phones in their cars, and they'll say, there goes Yours, Mine, and Theirs, the fourth best movie podcast there ever was.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, and special guest, who are you?
Yes, this is Rhett. I'm 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, and I can hang with the best podcasters in all the land.
Yes, you can. Okay, perfect. Okay.
I was also born to wear this jacket. I was born to do this podcast.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so we didn't take either of yours that you
no,
wanted to use.
Yeah, great. Good.
Okay. So do we need to go find the best podcasters in the land?
Yeah, good. No, we don't. We do not.
Yeah,
you're
stuck with us. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, have you guys have met, right? You guys know each other.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to call you JR, not Roy. I'm sorry, but John has called you JR for 20 years, and I'm not going to change.
That's fine.
That's fine.
JR was my freshman roommate, and Rhett was my sophomore roommate, college-wise. Also, tons of overlap between then and now. So, Rhett, this is your first time. We wanted you to talk about Total Recall and a few others, but you gracefully bowed out, and we called
a
special
work
meeting.
Conflict.
Yeah, you had a work conflict then, and then you had a wife conflict this week. But we're meeting on a different day than we usually do, right?
Because yeah, it's like
your anniversary.
So, yeah, we're gonna be gone this weekend, but I wanted to get it in. So you know.
Yeah, no, and we're glad. You going out of town?
Yes, it's our 10-year, so.
Oh, we're good
going,
for you.
Yeah, we're going to Southern California. We were going to go to Mexico, but I didn't want to get stranded in case I got a random positive COVID test. Happened to a friend of mine. He tested positive. He had to wait like 3 more days, and turns out the first test was wrong, so go figure.
Oh, jeez.
All right, yeah. Well, I'm sure, California should be fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. No, we'll see. Okay, well, have fun there. But this is your first time on this podcast, and you get to do the movie choosing, and the movies you chose, we got your The Natural, we got your The Rudy, and we got your The Tin Cup. I don't know. I see a connection, but can you just enlighten me on your reasoning for choosing these?
Yes. So it started off with sports, but then I decided this is not a sports movie podcast. It's more about the hero's journey and the different ways it manifests itself. Mm-hmm. And I avoided like Miracle, thinking, they win it, or Mighty Ducks. It's like they win at the end. All was good. Now, because in only one of these movies do they actually win it. Spoiler, they actually win at the end, right? Mm-hmm. The other two, one of them, I guess they do win the game, but he barely gets into the game. And then Tin Cup has, I think, one of the best sports movie endings of all time. I think it's incredible how they did that. So,
Okay, we'll talk about the ethics of Tin Cup and what happens there. I'm excited about that, but we could totally get into the other ones. Okay, we can. And by the way, let's knock these out because we have. Since these are all sports movies, I think our award segment is going to be way
super
more boisterous
fun
than usual. So we'll totally get that. Yeah, I think we can get into it. Unless there's something else you guys want to mention. Does anybody else have an anniversary?
In a month, I'm not going to steal any anniversary thunder here. So. Red, your anniversary is the one that matters. So,
thank you.
Go to Mexico.
Yeah.
Dang it. We're going to Mexico is what I did want to say. no, I'm just kidding. But actually, I don't think I'll be with my wife for my anniversary. If things work out the way I think they will, she'll be here selling our house, and I'll be possibly in Georgia starting a job. So we'll see.
Ooh.
Yay.
Well, that's bigger news. Did I know that? Is that that thing that you posted on Facebook where you're like, has anybody lived here? And everyone was like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's all we need. Is it close to Atlanta or Athens?
What town
is
this?
Yeah.
It's Augusta, which I guess like they do like badminton there. There's some sort of like championship that happens in Augusta for
badminton.
Some sport.
Smack you.
Or like – punting? Punting is what you call it with the rowers, right? So because it's right there on the Savannah River, maybe they punt.
Punting?
So, yeah, is that what they call rowing?
I mean, Augusta's basically South Carolina, so you're fine.
So here's the thing. No, Tin Cup, by the way, shows Pinehurst, right? Am I right? That was Pinehurst.
It was.
Okay,
yes.
never been, but I did have Tiger Woods Golf on my PlayStation 3. So gorgeous course. But yeah, so the Masters takes place in Augusta, and that's like a big deal, I guess, in golf.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
My dad, I was talking to my dad about moving to Augusta, and he started name dropping. That's Bill's way. But he said that he hasn't spoken to Johnny Miller in a few years, but maybe he could call in a favor and somehow get permission to go to Augusta.
I should ask this when we talk about Tin Cup, but have you ever golfed before?
I have. Every time my dad visits, he makes me go golfing, and he bought me a set of clubs, and I only golf when my dad visits. So there's the part in Tin Cup where he's got the yips and everything goes straight to the right 90 degrees. That's every shot for me.
Right.
I've taken to rotating the club 90 degrees to the left and it goes sort of straight. Wow. I don't think that's how you're supposed to golf, but, anyway, yeah, I'm not very good and my clubs haven't been used for many years, but I do, enjoy, I lived in Hawaii for a year and for 4 years, and my dad came out every year, and we went to a different course on a different island, so we had a good time.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Okay, the one thing I did want to bring up, I saw Unholy at the movie theater. It seems like a bunch of horror movies are starting to hit the theater. It was actually pretty good. I don't know if either of you have seen it.
I don't think I've heard of Unholy.
Well, at the beginning, a girl's a witch, I guess, is being burned at the stake, and they nail a mask onto her face, and it's from her perspective that they're nailing the mask onto her face. It's kind of, you don't see anything, but it sounds pretty gross. But interesting movie, and it has Negan in it.
It's PG-13. I thought for sure BR.
It is PG-13. I took my 12-year-old daughter, who says that she 13-year-old daughter who says she loves horror movies, and she spent 80% of that movie with her like head, her face in my shoulder.
Nice.
So I think she loves the idea of loving horror movies.
Yeah,
the idea of horror movies. Yeah.
Oh yeah, she'll get there. I mean, once you get over that hump, then it's just like then you're just hardened and yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought okay, you know, she can ease into it. We've seen Psycho. She's seen the Quiet Place, a few movies like that, but. What am I waiting for? Let's just whip out Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the house, the last house on the left, right? So, which actually, I've never seen that one. I don't think I have a desire.
You'll never see hopefully. Last House on the Left.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, don't worry about
or the sequel, The Last House on the Right.
Well, have either of you seen what's the really famous one? That's the found footage one. The
Cannibal Holocaust.
Blair Witch?
Holocaust. Oh. Cannibal Holocaust. No, I don't think I'm ever going to see Cannibal Holocaust either.
1980? Oh, my goodness.
Is that when Cannibal Holocaust was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that movie got in trouble because I guess it looked so real they thought that people were actually being killed.
We're probably going to watch Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, that's going to happen now.
I think that one might happen. So, you know,
I did see Bone Tomahawk when they like held the guy upside down by his legs and then prepared him for feast. That was pretty gross.
That's a ooh. I don't know what you call that. What's that noise where you go ooh?
I don't know.
One of those. It's so gross. Yeah. Okay. No. Good. Okay. Well, I'm glad you suddenly wanted to randomly say that you saw a really gross movie with your daughter.
It wasn't that gross, but I thought it was actually pretty decent.
Really?
Yeah. It was. Anyway, it's worth a couple bucks.
All right, so. I might see it if I ever leave my house. We'll see.
So, speaking of horror movies, do I get to do The Natural?
You're doing The Natural. Let's talk about it.
The Unnatural, because it's a ghost story. That was meant as a joke. It's not a ghost story, but we will get to... There is a part in the film where I believe there is a ghost.
Go on.
Yeah, anyway. So, The Natural. This is the story of young Roy Hobbs, who grows up... It's supposed to be Nebraska, right? Did they ever come out and say it? it's got to be Nebraska because the pitcher at the end is also from Nebraska.
Yeah, anyway, I think so. Okay.
Yeah, he grows up playing baseball with his dad. He's really talented. One day, his dad has a heart attack, and on that same day that his dad died, lightning strikes a tree, and from that tree, he draws forth Excalibur. Wonder Boy. He takes.
Okay. What was that? Did his father die and then gain the powers of a god and try to take his son with him but missed?
No. He wanted to give him a gift.
So, so it's going to get crazy at my retirement, John, because I'm given an opportunity to present some gifts for family members, and I was heavily influenced by watching The Natural. So, anyway.
Okay.
Oh, genius.
I think I have a whole speech about my dad and the passing of wisdom from father to son and the symbol that bat is. Anyway, the point is he takes a piece of wood out of the tree. He carves it into a bat. It's Wonder Boy. We fast forward a few more years. He's been living on his own, I guess, right? Like, who's been raising him after his dad died? Does he have a mom? I don't know.
We never see the mom, but it's implied that she's there, and we just don't see her.
Okay. Well, she's not a very good mom because she lets him go have sex in haylofts with neighbors. But anyway, for all I know, they'd only have once, and it seemed innocent enough. But he gets called up to the Cubs?
Yes.
Chicago.
Yeah, Cubs. Yes. Chicago Cubs. So he says he gets called up to the Cubs. He goes and tells his girlfriend Iris that he's going. By the way, Robert Redford in this movie as an actor is 47 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And he's playing like a 17 or 18 year old kid, right? So
it's so
like,
wrong.
It's all obscure and it's like it's all shadow, like it's all really really dark, right? So
yeah.
But anyway,
it's not dark enough. I mean,
yeah. He says he loves her. He's gonna send for her. When he gets to Chicago, she gives him a goodbye present, and he gives one to her too, although he doesn't know it. So he goes. Yeah, on the way to Chicago, he meets the Whammer. It's basically Babe Ruth, right? He strikes out the Whammer, which is it's too bad because you have a what was the name of the girl? Barbara Hershey. Mm-hmm. She's there and she's going to murder the Whammer, which I think this is based loosely off a true story where a famous baseball player was murdered by a woman. Yeah. So she's obsessed with Greek mythology, and she talks about Homer. And can we just get this out of the way? Like, this movie, a lot of the references in this movie are basically the Odyssey. This movie is the Odyssey in 1839 baseball.
I guess. I mean, one of my big pet peeves is when movies claim that they're referencing the Odyssey, but they're only just making minor references, and it's not like, you know. I mean,
so you don't – it's not committed enough?
And I don't know. It's fine. I guess you can reference the Odyssey. Some of the IMDb trivia I was really nonplussed with. Like, what was it? Like, Wilford Brimley is Zeus because for no reason, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for no reason because someone has to be.
Because someone has to be. And
it makes more sense that Wilford Brimley is the Fisher King from King Arthur, right? I mean, his name is Pop Fisher.
There is that. But the one another thing that IMDb mentioned was that Robert Duvall is Hephaestus, because he has yellow and red, and he uses a camera, which is technology, and that's what the god was, or something. And I'm like, come on, come on.
We get it, John. You majored in Greek mythology for a semester.
No, I'm saying. It's all these people who did major in Greek mythology for a semester who feel like it's like, okay, I'm on assignment, so I'm going to have to find some kind of symbolism for each of these people when there is none for them. It's like, let Robert Duvall just be Max Mingus, or what's his name?
Mercy.
Max Mercy. Let him be Max Mercy. He doesn't have to be Hephaestus.
Or Vulcan. So anyway... Yeah. The point is on the train, he meets this girl that was going to kill Babe Ruth, but he strikes out Babe Ruth. Max Mercy sees it, and then the girl focuses her attention on him. She sort of semi-seduces him. He goes to her hotel room. She shoots him. She commits suicide. Fast forward 16 years later, he's at the New York Knights. He's been kind of playing minor league, I guess, for a year. So he's been gone for 16 years. John, he's been on a 16-year journey. But so I'm just going to keep doing it, John. So the Knights are
the original forced... Odyssey was 20 years, counting the whole Trojan War.
Okay. Pop Fisher, who's Wilford Brimley, who is in this movie, is like maybe the actor is 40 years old, but he looks 80 years older than I mean,
was he like, young? Was he younger than Robert Redford?
He was no. Probably. Honestly, he probably was, right? So
wait, I have to check this. Knows?
In the movie Cocoon, Wilford Brimley was younger than what's his head than Tom Steve Cruise Gutenberg. Was. No, than Tom Cruise was in the last Mission Impossible.
Yes. Okay, so, that sounds right. Yeah.
Brimley is 2 years older than Robert Redford.
Oh, see, that's close. Yeah, that's
it,
funny.
It is close. Okay. So anyway, it's a joke, right? Because he shows up. I think he's supposed to be in his 30s. He doesn't look like he's in his 30s. But they're not going to play him. But he sticks around, and eventually he gets his opportunity. I think he forces the issue by Pop Fisher is going to send him down to the minor leagues, and they have a fight. And so he shows up at batting practice. He does well in batting practice. The next game, Bump Bailey, who's not playing very well, gets benched, and he gets in. And what does he do? He knocks the cover off the ball. That's his welcome to the major league moment. And from then on, he becomes pretty famous. So Bump Bailey graciously dies the next game.
Yeah, conveniently.
So then Roy Hobbs can play like in a starting role.
Why did
role,
Bump
right?
Bailey have to die? Why couldn't so they just bench Bump?
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? So obviously Bump Bailey was being bribed to lose games, right? Mm-hmm. That's implied. But yeah. Then, like, he starts playing well, but he plays so well he played himself through a wall, and that wall killed him. So, farewell, Bump Bailey. Anyway, Roy Hobbs is doing great, but he's costing the judge a lot of money, and the judge is someone who wants the team to lose because if they fail to win the pennant, he gets ownership of the entire organization. Pop Fisher would have to sell to him.
I would have loved to have been in the room during that conversation. It's like, okay, you can stay on as manager, but if you don't do well, then I get the whole team, you know? And then they shake hands. It's like, oh, okay. Come on, Wilford Brimley. What are you thinking here?
By the way, the judge who exists only in darkness is Hades. So, moving on. The judge is losing because...
Why is he Hades? Because it's dark?
And because he judges men.
Okay.
Yeah. And because it's dark. And also because he's Father Kavanaugh in Rudy.
Yes. Well,
I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's the same character.
It's the same character.
Yeah, after he lost the team, you know, he went and joined the cloth.
It's all in the same universe here, right?
Wow.
Yeah,
the same universe.
Okay. Perfect. So, anyway, that was a spoiler for one of my awards. But coming back... Roy Hobbs becomes seduced by Memo Paris, right?
Memo.
And so I don't know if I'd call it seduced. My dad says, well, he was seduced. I'm like, well, you know, he made choices too, right? So,
I mean, Kim Basinger looks at me in an elevator. I'm seduced. I mean, it's happening.
And Paris is the person who seduced Helen of Troy.
Oh my gosh, John. See? So Paris is – she's Paris, but she's also Circe, Calypso, whatever, right? She's the one that he's on his way home. But anyway, he's a famous, successful football player.
As in Homer. And dinging some homers is in home runs.
Anyway, the point being he starts playing super crappy, right? The team's losing. He's coming – to Chicago, where Iris now lives, and she comes to a game, and he hasn't, as far as I can tell, he hasn't hit a ball in like a month or something. But in his last at bat, she stands up, and I think this is the one where he hits it into the clock, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which is also a real thing that happened. And what I learned from the player who really did smash the clock at Ebbets Field, was it at Ebbets Field?
Yes.
That, like, they counted it as a double? if you hit the ball that far, why is it only a double? I don't understand.
Because baseball rules don't make sense half the time.
Because you have to pay for the clock somehow.
With two bases. You got to pay for the clock with two bases.
Yeah.
So here's – okay, I'm taking way too long in the summary. He meets her. He turns things around. He stops seeing Memo so much. He's doing really well. They're getting ready to do a run in the playoffs, and I think they play Philly, right? And they've won the first three games against Philly, and then Memo, she poisons him, right? Like, I'm not wrong about this.
Oh, no, she for sure poisons him.
Like, cream puff poison? Like, here's my poison cream puff? I assume that's what it is. So they lose three games in a row. He's in the hospital. Iris comes to visit him, and she encourages him in so many words to play again. He does. At his last at bat, he smashes the lights that hang over the tops of the stadium, and then fade to he's in Nebraska with Iris and his son, right? It's revealed that she got pregnant and had a kid, and that's his son.
And he put his family horribly in debt to pay for those stadium lights. Like the rest of their lives, they're like, they're like in debt to that fact. Because, interesting when you hit a baseball into one of those lights, every light in the stadium explodes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
They're daisy chained together.
Yeah.
So it makes for a cool visual, but I will say, like, so one of my favorite things about this film that I kind of noticed this time around is that, like, he keeps his past a secret, right? He doesn't talk to anyone about his past, none of his friends or teammates or anyone, or a Memo especially. But then he meets Iris again 16 years later, and, like, within 5 minutes he tells her everything.
Yes, and the one thing I'll say about that, though, he tells her really quietly. Like, you think it's one of those movie tropes where, like, the sound fades off because they don't really have anything to say, but they want you to think that he's saying something. But if you actually crank the volume, you can make out a lot of what he's saying.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's so weird.
Why is his past such a big secret?
So I think he's ashamed of – He has his weakness, right? His hubris, if you will. And I think he's embarrassed by it. And I think he feels like he can't go home, right? And I'm not trying to do the Odyssey thing here, but I think he's just kind of ashamed. And when we get to best speech, I'm going to dive a little bit more into that. Not to say that it's from The Natural, but anyway.
Well, Like she says, you know, what's in the... He always refers to it as, like, it was a mistake. I should have seen it coming. Who would have seen that coming, though? I mean, is that just, like, a thing? Like, women dressed in black just shooting guys? Like, in the 30s or whenever?
Yeah, I don't know. So, I think, though, he recognizes that he was being at least on some level, like... he was being unfaithful to the girl that he left behind a week ago,
oh,
right?
On every level. I mean...
Yeah. And I think there's guilt there and there's shame there. So,
but it's Barbara Hershey.
It's Barbara Hershey. Yeah, what's the name of her character?
Harriet
Bird.
I remember because it's Barbara Hershey's initials, but backwards.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
What I love about this film, what I really love about this film is it's about screwing up, and it's about trying to fix it, and it's about screwing up again, and it's about trying to fix it and dealing with the consequences. And it's just in this and I'm not trying to get too deep here, but in this stupid life, man, we screw up a lot. And it's just not too late. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for me. It's not too late for anyone. So I don't think it's ever right to give up on anyone, and especially yourself. And I love that this movie allows him to keep making really stupid mistakes and he can still turn it around. And also, like, I'm not a fan of baseball, but I just, like, it's so powerful how much he loves baseball. And I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, when he's in the hospital room and he's talking to Iris and he just expresses how much baseball means to him, I don't know.
What is it about baseball, and especially, and I know this from baseball movies, where it's less a sport and more of a religion? Because, Like, that's something you get from, like, people who really, really love baseball, they kind of speak of it that way. And you get that a lot in, like, Field of Dreams and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, it's, would you, I mean, it's the American sport, right? Would you say that maybe basketball is the most American sport as far as origins? Because baseball kind of has its origins in cricket a little bit, right?
Yeah, but it's, well, it's America's pastime or America's game. I always make the joke that it's not a sport, that it's a game, and people hate that, but...
Yeah. So I think it's...
Something about the history. I mean, mid-19th century, I mean, that's a long history.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it's a deeper history, but you just named basketball, and also, I mean, football. Football's got to be the most American, really. Like, really.
So, but football is basically like rugby, right?
It's not close, I would say.
I think that's where it comes from.
I guess.
I think basketball, though, like, is there a non-American origin for basketball?
No, it was Dr. Naismith. We know the origin story.
It's very American. It's from the Incas when they, like, threw the ball through the sideways hoop. Yeah,
so... I think baseball is considered like an elegant sport, right? And it's a classic sport, and it's simple, right? It's a pitcher and a batter, and that's kind of what it comes down to. And of all the sports, I think out there, this one like singles out individuals. I'm not sure if there's a more stressful position to be in any sport than to be a batter in baseball. Like, the good batters hit 30% of the time, 33%, 35% of the time. Like, you're really good if you can get on base one third of the time. I think it's that one-on-one duel that kind of means a lot. But anyway, maybe I don't know anything. So every time I watch a movie like this, I'm like, I like baseball. And then if I go to a baseball game, because we lived near Baltimore for years. And we'd go to games at Camden Yards, which is a beautiful park, and it was so much fun. And then I'd be at home, and like a baseball game would be on TV, and I'd go, I remember liking baseball, and I'd watch it, and like halfway through it, I just couldn't do it. But I mean, I enjoy the playoffs. So people who really like baseball, I admire your dedication, because there's like 700 games per season. I don't know. It's a lot. And someone one year talked me into doing fantasy baseball. That was like a full-time job.
Yeah, it's a job.
So, but anyway, I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Why do people speak so lovingly of baseball? But like Field of Dreams, I love Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't. I've been always trying to figure it out. I think it's the age of baseball because I think baseball is so boring that it requires some myth about it, like mythic status about it. And so the myths have perpetuated, you know? I mean, it's something, you know, dudes would talk about in the dugout, people would talk about in the stands, you know, while they're waiting for the hitter to happen. You know, they kind of invent it's like you're sitting there and it's like you're watching nostalgia. You're not watching the excitement of a real game, of a real sport, I should say.
A little bit. So, and I think maybe I don't give it its due, but I feel like baseball is a sport of moments, and it's a sport of heroes. And again, it's an individual thing, right? And you have a batter, right? And any batter on any given night can become a hero. And I think it's electrifying. So I know some people think soccer is really boring too, because it can be 90 minutes of passing the ball around and no one scores. But how electrifying is it when like a really solid play happens and someone scores a goal? I love it. And the thing I love about soccer is it could happen at any minute, at any moment. That could be the case.
Rhett, where was victory on your list of choices?
No, victory is amazing, but we're going to do that with war movies.
All right. Okay. I'm there. Okay. Let me ask one more thing about The Natural. I suppose Roy Hobbs represents. By the way, Roy Hobbs, Ty Cobb, Roy Hobbs, Ty Cobb. Is that the thing? Is that where his name comes from? Roy Ty,
I don't know.
Hobbs, Cobb, Hobbs, Cobb.
Okay, so here's the deal, right? And you read the same trivia I did. The book was like the author of the book intentionally was trying to do this off of King Arthur, right? and Roy means king. So the movie makers decided, King Arthur, whatever, we're doing the Odyssey. But I think he's named Roy because the author was intentionally doing that.
Follow-up question. Does Roy really mean king?
Yes.
And you know that because, you know,
because I am Roy convention? I'm Roy.
What does it mean king in? Is it a language?
Like Leroy, right? Is it French?
Could be French. See, because Rex is king in Latin. I know that.
It's Norman. Anglo-Norman.
Roy Anglo-Norman. I guess that's French.
Or the old French.
Okay. All right, Frenchie. Fair enough. Okay. but what I was going to ask is, okay, Roy is the pure love of baseball is Roy. That dark room with the judge, and I don't know anything. I mean, that represents all the things that corrupt something as pure as baseball, right? You got the judge who's in it for the power. You got Gus, who's in it for the gambling, which does its own corruption and distortion of a pure sport. You got Kim Basinger, you know, I guess it's another lust aspect, power, or maybe it's just it's the broads aspect. Broads don't belong in baseball. I don't know. I'm just shooting from the hip here. And then who's the other guy? And then Robert Duvall, right? Max. You know, he's like the corruption of, you know, of press and you know, the manipulation, you know, how the press can spin the purity of sports. I don't know. Is there anything there? Like the four pillars of sports corruption, you know, all in that room.
Yeah. So, and it's fascinating. Go ahead.
It's basically the seven deadly sins in some form, right? Or some of them. So, yeah.
So it's fascinating because baseball has I think all sports, right? There's a history of cheating scandals. I've never seen Eight Men Out. I hear it's really good, but I mean, baseball's had its fair share of scandals, and it's one of those sports where you kind of feel like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's like what's going on in this movie, right? That kind of stuff probably happens semi-regularly. It's hard to tell. Did either of you guys ever read Freakonomics, where they were able to decipher how sumo wrestlers cheat?
Yeah, it was awesome.
So if you did a deep dive on baseball through an economist point of view, you could probably detect similar things. But anyway. Anyway. But that's what makes boxing so good. The purest, least corrupted sport.
Oh, gosh.
There's a Futurama where Bender becomes a professional wrestler, and then they pay him off, and then Fry, the naive kid from the 20th century, goes, "I can't believe this. I found out professional wrestling is fixed, just like boxing."
So we haven't yet, but at some point we're going to get around to The Harder They Fall, which was Humphrey Bogart's last film, and it was about boxing corruption. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really quick, one of my questions is, okay, we were talking off air, right? And I think we need to mention this. The book ends with him striking out.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I cannot imagine the movie The Natural with him striking out at the end, because that's the big part that everybody remembers.
Yeah.
But make a case for him striking out at the end.
So, but you read the same trivia I did, right? Like, as he's doing his final at bat, like, the umpire, what he calls, and the what you hear verbally, it doesn't match, right? So did they film a version of him striking out and they had to re-edit it? That's kind of what it made it sound like.
I
want
to shake hands with that editor who edited in all the lights exploding and everything.
Wait, I missed the trivia where what the umpire calls at the end is wrong.
I should probably just pull it up because it's explained pretty well.
Because his last at bat, I mean, I know there's a ball, a called strike, and a foul, and then he hits the home run, right?
Let me see. Let me find it.
Right. So the count is what, 2-1?
Yeah.
So I'm just.
No, wait. No, the first pitcher throws two balls. Because then he gets pulled.
Okay, that's where it is. Like, one of those pitches from the first pitcher
sounds like a strike.
Well, you hear, like, if you have the subtitles on, it's called a strike. But I know that verbally they're both balls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when he gets to, he's already got one ball and one strike, and then, okay.
So someone didn't rewrite the subtitles properly?
I guess. Let's see.
Well, actually, you know, I noticed that it kind of sounds like the pitcher, the ump says strike. I'm guessing it's an editing error and not an editor being awesome. Let's go there.
So it says, Hobbs strikes out in his last at-bat before he could have the game winner. Youngberry's first pitch is a strike. His next pitch is a ball. The manager there then brings in John Rhodes. First pitch is fouled. Yeah. Okay, so a foul, that's two strikes. On the next pitch, Hobbs swings and misses. That's now three strikes.
Yeah.
But the subtitles are wrong. The umpire verbally says ball on the first two pitches.
Does he verbally say ball?
It also doesn't make sense, because why would you pull a pitcher who just threw a strike and a ball? If you have two balls, you pull the pitcher. So that's what makes sense.
Well, wasn't that another part of the story that the pitcher was doing really – like the pitcher on the opposing team was having the game of his life, right?
Yeah, he made it to the ninth.
Yeah.
Then two players got on base and – so Roy Hobbs is, even though he's banged up, right? Like the judge says, he's a wild card. You never know when he's gonna blow it up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Also, to be fair, did the umpire call ball or did he call? You know, so it could have been either one.
Okay, so let's see. This is the, because this is now in the goofs section, right? The first pitch is called a ball by the umpire, but the play-by-play man on the soundtrack calls it a strike. Those captions have the umpire calling a strike as well. The umpire also seems to have his calls mixed up with no motion for the first strike and then a strike motion for the second. So the umpire gives the strike motion for the second pitch, which was a ball, right? Anyway, so this
sounds like Frank Drebin was undercover as an umpire. Yeah.
Yeah. So but going back to your point, right? So obviously this kid from Nebraska, brand new, and Roy sees himself, right? And we talked about this, and I think he sees what he should have been, right? Like this young player with unlimited potential who is just an incredible pitcher. Because Roy, even though he's a great batter, he was supposed to be a pitcher. Mm-hmm. His strength was at pitching, which, by the way, like, when was the last time there was a great pitcher that was also a good batter? I mean, do pitchers go?
Yeah, there's actually the one in the league this year, which is incredible. So when he's not pitching, he's hitting. And there was some controversy because when he was pitching, they were having him not hit. And then finally this year, they were like, okay, we will have you also hit when you pitch. And he's like a phenomenal. I can't remember his name. He's on the Angels.
Is it the Whammer? Is his name the Whammer?
His name's the Whammer.
No.
Oh man,
Ohtani. He's Japanese. Ohtani. He's really good.
I'm gonna get in. I have an award specifically about this.
Okay. So, but, I mean, I think no one wanted to see this movie end with him striking out. But so what's the intent of the author then? Like, this is a passing of the torch. This is him realizing it's too late, or him like being content that someone else is taking up the mantle that he should have carried forward.
Yeah. As inspirational as this movie is, I take this movie as, okay, once you're a boomer, you hold on for dear life and you shut the millennials down.
Okay.
Why do I talk sports movies with you? This is like a top five movie of all time, and you got to come up with some random thing that makes no sense.
Well, okay, but it's interesting because every time I see this movie, I always interpreted, you know, when they bring the pitcher on, like, you know, there's the other pitcher, the vet pitcher who was on, and he was doing really good until two guys got on base. And then slow-mo of the mulleted kid who walks on, and the baseball announcers are like, oh boy, this guy murders batters. He's so, you know, and he's walking on, and I think he's like kind of supposed to be the villain. It's like, okay, suddenly the Cyclops, I guess. Okay, fine, I'll lean into this.
No, Gus is the Cyclops.
Yeah, Gus the Cyclops.
Gus is not the Cyclops because he has a weird eye.
He does the eye thing. He does the eye thing.
Literally does. He literally puts his hand over one eye. I mean, come on.
That's like it's just like in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's like, oh, you know, there's an eye patch on John Goodman, so it's like the.
Thank you.
Yeah, so he's the Cyclops.
Right, so but I'm being sarcastic about that. It's just like it's just an eye patch.
We don't care.
So I will say maybe it's like Roy defeating himself, right? Because like the pitcher is Roy.
So it's like Superman three.
It's basically, yeah. So it's like he's kind of defeated everything else that's gotten his way. He's overcome all of his past, but now he's got to defeat his expectations of who he should have been. Maybe I'm reaching too far here, but it's basically Roy against himself.
See, and that's why I'm like, it's just that, okay, but this is a real kid. I think the whole, I guess it's a remnant of the book, you know, that he himself, like, that it's like, I feel like it's a remnant of a passing the torch kind of thing. It's like, okay, once Roy got to that spot, he could strike out because even though he's striking out, he still proved it. He still proved himself, and now it's time for the pitcher to be the star, he himself who was younger. And so I think it's a remnant of that. I'm actually kind of surprised they even bothered to have the pitcher exchange in the movie where Roy is triumphant with the home run at the end.
I think it means a lot to have that pitcher, and I'm happy with that change. What I would say is, like, if they'd followed the book and the ending had been him striking out, then you have whatever passing of the torch or whatever it means, but can you imagine this movie ending with Fisher losing the club to the judge? Like, how awful would that be?
It would be. I mean, right. Well, I mean, Wilford Brimley surely was just going to die the next year anyway.
Well, he was drinking that brown water.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. That doesn't. And I'm wondering. I mean, was that in the book too? I mean, obviously, we should have read the book.
No, but I read the Wikipedia on the book, which is just as good, and it's
sure.
It's loose. It's fairly loose as they tend to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I mean, because that's a big thing about the movie, and not something I really noticed when I was a kid, that it's like, okay, Wilford Brimley needed Roy Hobbs to, you know, he, like, had to have someone come in and be his savior because he cares about the team.
Yeah, he needed a hero, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Perseus. it's whatever now.
Yeah, you guys. Can I say something about the ending?
Yes, you can.
Well,
I love the ending because two things. One, I think the final game is amazing. I love the radio broadcast over the game. It's not a small part. It goes on for like. It covers almost the entire last scene where the radio broadcast in the background. And it's usually voiceovers are terrible. This has got to be the best voiceover in cinema history because, you know, it's kind of a nice device to use the radio as a voiceover. But it gives that sense of gravitas to the situation. Like, this is being broadcast around the world. It's not just in the ballpark.
And it's the voice of the director of the movie.
That's true.
Really?
Yep, it is. Yep.
Barry Levinson? Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, he does great. And then I also love that it just ends. Like, he hits the home run, the lights go off, he throws the ball with his kid who can't throw a ball. Have you seen that? That's my nitpick on this movie.
Yes.
And this Bill Simmons is talking. He talks about this about once a year. He mentions it in a podcast how awful this is. And it's so true. You see him throw, you're like, okay, you should have been there for your son to teach him how to throw a ball.
Well, okay. Just keep in mind, the son has spent 16 years being taught by Glenn Close how to throw a ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I blame Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, and he's also spent 16 years fighting off the suitors, right, that are trying to force Iris to marry them because she's Penelope.
Is his name Telemachus?
His name is Telemachus. they didn't even, like, bother. They just named him Telemachus, right?
Yeah. Anyways, and then I love how it just ends. Like, there's no more talking. Like, honestly, the last talking is probably like, the radio broadcast. But before that, it might be like the umpire asking him if he's okay, and he said, "Yeah, let's play." He said, "Let's play ball." That might be the last line in the movie.
Yeah. So, okay, because it, this isn't anywhere in my awards, and I just have to ask this. I know his injury. I understand his injury. Why is he bleeding?
Why is he bleeding? Yeah, I think that's where they had to go in to remove the bullet. They said they pumped his stomach.
Yeah, they pumped his stomach.
Yeah, I don't know why he's bleeding.
Well,
there was no surgery.
I don't remember them saying that.
Yeah, the doctor says, we pumped your stomach.
I guess, like, it's just a cinematic thing to show he's injured. But also, I wonder, in the book, does he strike out and also his stomach explodes? Is that
the full
first blood ending?
I'm reading the book. It must have not have been blood. It must have been ketchup. Like, he must have just, like, eaten a hot dog.
Stop it.
What happens, he takes the Savoy special from Bobby Savoy. He's kind of a healthier kid. He's been enjoying some dogs. And he got that ketchup all over his bat. But I don't know. I get what they're trying to say, but there is a 0% chance he's bleeding through his skin because of his injury.
It means his stomach exploded, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
And he's playing with an exploded stomach.
Maybe. Now, do we want to talk about the 04 Red Sox, the bloody sock, or no?
Oh, sure.
John, do you know about this? We lived together at the time. You must have known about this. So, Curt Schilling was the pitcher for the Red Sox. Game six? Yeah, it was game six, the 2004 ALCS against the Yankees. And his ankle had surgery and it stapled it shut, sutured it up so he could play. And during the game, he started bleeding and it you could see it on the sock and it filled his shoe full of blood. And every natural comparison you can imagine came out that day. It's called the bloody sock game. And it's crazy because they won, right? They had to win that game to force the game seven. He played lights out. Now, Curt Schilling turns out later in life was not such a good dude, but yeah, turns out, it's the bloody sock game. So I should mention that there, John.
And what's weird is the injury stemmed from him getting shot in the ankle by Barbara Hershey. So
by the actual actress, Barbara Hershey.
the actress,
Barbara, it was literally Barbara Hershey.
Yeah.
What if it was Glenn Close?
That'd be a trick,
All right. So there's more to talk about with the natural, but it's all in my awards.
Save for the awards.
Right.
Yeah.
True story.
That's great.
Okay. All right. Right, you don't have anything else about the natural? I don't think I do.
I mean, it's one of my top five movies, not just sports, but like literally top five movies of all time. The one anecdote I will share is, John, one time when we lived at the Gateway, we had church at 1 o'clock, and Joe and I got ready at noon the natural started on like TNT or TBS. So we sat down to watch it, and it got to be like 12:45. We should have left, and we just kept sitting there. And then at like 1:05, we looked at each other like, we're not going to church, are we? We're like, nope. And we sat and watched the whole natural while wearing church clothes and didn't go to church that day. And honestly, it was a more spiritual experience than I'm sure.
I'm just going to say you guys did go to church, so.
Baseball church. So, again, with the religion and the baseball.
So the thing is like, right now, I'm so fired up, I want to go watch a baseball game so bad.
They're super fun live.
They really are. They're a lot of fun live.
And I've been there with coworkers. I've been there with fathers and sons before, where it's like you can see them like have this bond. John, to answer your question, I don't know what it is, but there is something there. I will say that.
Yeah, I love watching like a father kid like scoring it, right? Where they've got the whole,
it's cute.
Table out there filming. Okay, John, you gonna take us through Rudy?
All right. Let's talk about Rudy. Before I talk about Rudy, I've been feeling guilty for the last couple of weeks because I kind of feel like on our last podcast we talked about The Quiet Man, which is one of Roy's favorite movies, and I kind of feel like I maybe unnecessarily crapped on Quiet Man quite a bit. So I'm gonna make up for that by crapping all over Rudy right now.
I mean, John Wayne, Sean Astin, they're the same person,
yeah,
right?
They're similar. Okay, so Rudy, if that is his real name, it's not.
It is. Daniel. You call him Daniel.
His name is Daniel. How do you get Rudy out of Daniel? His last name is Rudiger, but he has like 50 brothers. None of them are Rudy.
Well, none of them are scrappy, tiny football players. It just comes.
I know, yeah. He's the smallest of them all, so he gets the name Rudy.
He's pocket-sized Rudy.
Yeah. So anyway, he wants to... Rudy is... he's abused by all of his friends and family because they all want... They all talk about how great Notre Dame is, and so, you know, he is kind of gaslit into the greatness of Notre Dame, and so he wants to go to Notre Dame, but also the same people who gaslit him about the greatness of Notre Dame say, no, you cannot go to Notre Dame.
So he's surrounded by awful adults, right?
Yeah.
And, I don't usually use the term gaslighting, but it totally was. I'm watching... This time around, I was like, whoa, this is, like, hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, he is a man with a mission, and he has this hot girlfriend and everything, from age 8 on, right?
Yeah, Corey Flood.
Yeah, she's the girl in Say Anything.
Yeah. You
know, she grows up into the girl in Say Anything, anyway.
Lloyd Dobler, right on.
Yeah. He does play high school football. Apparently, he was pretty good in high school. I think they say later that he had the most tackles, even though they measured his ability and it was lacking. It's like, even though he is short of stature and he's slower than everybody and not as bright as anybody else and technically has no ability to play football, he got the most tackles.
Did you read the trivia of this one, too?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently he had really good technique and he just happened to be really small, right? Because at the end of the movie, we're getting way ahead. At the end of the movie, his only one of two plays he ever plays for Notre Dame, he sacks the freaking quarterback, and I thought, okay, movie magic, we got to make the ending fun, right? But that's for real.
Yeah,
he freaking sacked. Was it Georgia Tech?
Yeah, yes, I think so.
Yeah, he only played for two plays in his entire college career, and one of them was a sack. So,
that's pretty cool. Although, it kind of seemed to me like he sacked a guy walking off the field at the end of a game.
Yeah, it was the last play of a losing game.
So, okay. So, I was going to get there, but, we're going to get there. Anyway, Rudy lights his best friend on fire at work. And that...
No, he did not light Pete on fire.
All right. He pretended not to put him out. Right. Okay, no. Rudy was there when his friend exploded at work. Is that okay?
When his friend got immolated, yes.
Yes, okay. And the next day he's like, okay, you know what? My friend exploded right next to me. I really got to be serious about this Notre Dame thing. By this time, he's 22 years old, right? He's old.
Yes,
he's an old man.
It's 4 years. It literally says 4 years after high school. So
yeah. He pretty much goes through his Roy Hobbs phase of not doing the football thing, right?
So the movie doesn't cover it, but he did 4 years in the Navy between high school and college.
Yeah. That's true. So he was in the Navy, which explains his killer instinct further, maybe. I don't know. He was in the Navy in real life, but it wasn't in the movie. Anyway, his brother is a jerk to him. I didn't mention... Oh, when Pete was still alive, I remember at one point Pete says... Because his brother Frank is like, why don't you just give up? Everyone in his family is like, why don't you just give up? Just give up. And Pete, his best friend, says, hey, Frank, why don't you be more like your Uncle Rico? High school's over, and he can still throw the football a quarter mile. So, you shut up. You could have made All-American, stuff like
all
that.
All-conference. You could have made All-conference.
All-conference. Okay, that's what he says. He just goes to Indiana. What is it? Where's Notre Dame?
South Bend.
Not Fort Bend. He goes to South Bend, and he just wanders on to Notre Dame. And, the priest there thinks he wants to join the priesthood, but he's like, oh, thank goodness, you just want to join the team? It's like, oh, you don't want to be a priest, let me tell you. And so he says, okay, I'll get you – how does it work? You go to the Holy Cross College.
I'll get you one semester at Holy Cross.
Yeah.
If you make the grades, you can continue, and then you can apply to transfer.
Okay. So pretty much Rudy spends almost 4 years at the school across the street from Notre Dame. In the meantime, lying to everybody that he actually is a Notre Dame student.
Not really. He only lies to the girl once and he gets busted. He only lies to the girl once and he gets busted. And that was it. That was the only time he lied.
All right. Well, he lies a bunch off camera. I know that. I mean, he has to lie to all the, because he has to impress all the girls for Happy Hogan, right? And so he has to at least lie to them so that then he can, you know, he can, like, earn their trust, and then, like a con man, he sloughs them off on, you know, Fat John Favreau.
It's basically like he's a UVU pretending he's a BYU.
Yes, we've been there. Yeah.
Yes, we have been there.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, he's one of those guys. So he spends, like, his job is to get dates for John Favreau, who is a Notre Dame guy and, you know, who does everything. Okay. And so, eventually he gets to a point where, he like goes in and he's this incessant guy who like bugs the coach, and the coach is like, okay, fine, you know what? I'll put you in next year. You have my word on that. And then the coach immediately commits suicide after that.
No, he goes to the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, fine. He goes pro. Which
today it would be about the same thing. So
yes.
It's very similar to what happens today. Yeah. Oh yeah, go play for me. I'm out.
Well, no, I'm making the reference to switching to the Dallas Cowboys being pretty close to suicide. But
oh yeah, there you go.
Okay, so anyway, eventually, but he gets on the practice squad, I guess, as is normal, right?
He's a walk-on. Because Notre Dame had a very liberal walk-on, like, not, I don't know if it's a liberal policy, but they allowed walk-ons to try out, and he made the cut, right?
Right, but it's the cadaver squad, really. It's like, he's a crash test dummy for the team. That's his job, right? Okay. So he's the crash test dummy, and the team is so inspired by the fact that they just beat the crap out of him all the time that they do a slow clap, you know, with the new coach, and the new coach is like, okay, fine, you know, I don't want to put Rudy in because, you know, because he's whiny and he's tiny and I hate him. But they're like, okay, we're going to strike unless you put him in. And so they put him in for, like, two plays, and as I've already covered, he unnecessarily tackled the quarterback, as the quarterback was, you know, after a terrible day, the quarterback just wanted to end the game. He gets cheap-shotted by Rudy at the very end. And a 24-3 victory for Notre Dame. And the team carries Rudy off, on their shoulders, which is the only time that's ever been done. Probably because Rudy is the lightest football player to ever play for Notre Dame.
5'6", 160 pounds.
Yeah.
Short, so it's like, maybe a kicker.
This will be an easy guy to carry off the field, so they did it. So anyway, so that is Rudy, a classic. We all know the story of Rudy. I didn't have to take too long talking about it because we all know that story.
You kind of messed it all up. But
So Coach Devine, apparently, like in real life, Coach Devine did not have to be talked into letting Rudy play in the last game. And, like, the whole thing with the players saying that they want him to take their place, that's not true. It makes for a great movie moment. But so Coach Devine later said,
because they all hated Rudy in real life.
Yeah. Well, he said if the players had done that, they all would have been kicked off the team. But
I think players have more power than that. If every player on the Notre Dame football team did that, would they really be kicked off the team?
No.
It'd be hard to, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's fascinating because, like, the point that the previous coach made about Rudy playing is, when talking to their players, is like, Notre Dame is in the business of playing for national championships every single year, which hasn't been the case for a while, although they've kind of, the last few years, they finally are coming back to form. So, by the way, I enjoy Notre Dame football. Like, aside from BYU, which is where we all went to school, I like Notre Dame. I'm happy to cheer for them, and I've been to a game there. I know John hasn't, but Red, have you been?
I have not. I missed the year BYU was there. I didn't make it.
I mean, yeah, so the year I went, we lost, which was all good and fine, but, like, what an experience. Like, that stadium is something else.
Was that when Peter was there?
No. This is before Peter. But the fans there are so gracious, and like their band at the beginning and end of the game plays the visiting team's fight song as like a welcome and a thanks for coming. And it's just like I haven't had a football experience like that since. And I swear the entire campus shows up pre-game to celebrate the game that's about to happen.
You'd think they'd carry more players off the field then.
You would think they'd carry more players off the field, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so, Rhett, what did I miss?
I mean, I don't... You missed so much. You missed John... You know, you kind of missed John Favreau. You missed Vince Vaughn, who's in this movie. Yeah,
who does Vince Vaughn play? Because I saw that in the credits, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
He's the quarterback at the end.
He's the quarterback who was... No. He's the quarterback on Notre Dame who was supposed to be the All-American, and, like, in the
Joe
last
Montana?
Practice... No. So in the last practice of the season, when Rudy tackles him, and he goes, this guy is playing like it's the Super Bowl. He's like, you just summed up your entire career, like, because he was like this highly recruited star, but he just has no heart.
Jamie O'Hare,
Jamie O'Hare.
Yeah.
And then he gets the ball back at the end. He throws the long pass when they were supposed to just like kill the clock.
Yeah, they had to score again to get Rudy on defense so he could play. Yeah, he was that guy. He was like, let's score so we can get Rudy in. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's also there's also a scene in the parking lot where he's got his Letterman jacket on and they're sitting on the cars. It's kind of incredible to just see Vince Vaughn. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
Holy cow, he is so young. I didn't recognize him during the movie at all. Yeah. Now I'm looking at pictures.
It was his first movie. This is
pre-Swingers, right? So John Favreau and Vince Vaughn did Swingers right after this, right?
Yeah, they basically got this to help so they could live.
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much hit it all. I mean, the tryouts, you missed how many times he applied to the school, which is kind of incredible. You know, he opens the letters. The last time he opens it, I mean, I get misty. I don't mind admitting that. You know, getting to be a walk-on and just having it suck, but then his dad doesn't believe he's on the team. And when his brother's like, it's very easy. We watch the Irish every Saturday. You don't come running out of that tunnel. Like, that's kind of like, ooh, burn, you know? You missed it. His other brother stole his girlfriend. Oh, at Christmas. That was a gut wrench. It was like, bro, come on.
I get the feeling that Rudy doesn't like girls or guys even or anybody.
No, he likes. What are you talking about? He likes that one girl who's works the athletic department.
I don't know about that because I feel like it was he kind of liked her who worked at the athletic department, but I feel like he was a lot more about saying, "Hey, look at me, I'm at Notre Dame now," and then he just walked away. You know, it was like kind of a spiteful,
here's what it is. He had a singular goal in mind. He sacrificed everything for a singular goal, and that was to play football for Notre Dame. Unlike Roy Hobbs, who kind of had a wandering eye, whenever he got involved with a woman, it destroyed his playing career. So if he would have, you know...
I was going to say, I mentioned this when you called
in. He would not have ended up there, just saying.
Roy Hobbs, okay, he got so much tail. Can I just say it? It was just all over the place.
I mean, three beautiful women. I mean,
like,
of course, Robert Redford is a very handsome guy. So
right.
I mean, he was until he turned into a mummy. But
do you want to talk about when your mom went on the date with Robert Redford?
Right? Okay. Yes. So JR, excuse me, Roy. Since this is all Roy podcast. So my mom, when she was 17, was skiing at Deer Valley and got on the lift with Robert Redford. And
this is like a date.
Early 70s Robert Redford, which is like mind-blowing Robert Redford. she didn't know, could say two words. It's pretty incredible.
So I don't know I don't know if I'd call it a date, but I was at the top of the little lodge at the top. Is it the Mandan lift in Sundance?
Yeah. Mandan.
Yeah, I was up there just getting hot chocolate or chili or whatever, and it's pretty small, right?
Robert
did stroll in and sat down, and I thought, oh, that's him. He's really old, but I didn't. I mean, we didn't go. It wasn't a date, so it sounds like your mom did better than me.
Yeah, I think she got a little farther than you did.
I winked.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much got it. Other notes that are not of mine that are not related to the not trivia. What are we calling it? Awards? Not related to the awards. I do want to point out on one of the lists when Rudy like does his finger down to see if he made the team or made the cut, made the dress list for the week, there is a Weller on that list. And I looked him up, and there was a Weller who played for the University of Notre Dame football. So I was like, ah, good to know.
Detail. He
was
attention thrilled. To detail.
Yeah. So a few things about this movie. I love the snow games. I think that more football games – I hate that every single bowl has to be played in like a sunny subtropical climate. I love snow games. And so that it was fun to watch a couple snow games. I appreciate that Rudy grew up in the slag heaps. So that's pretty good. And then what else? I mean, any movie with Ned Beatty is good, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I did like the trivia piece that it was like, yeah, Chicago to South Bend's only an hour and a half away. He didn't have to ride the bus like all night. Like, like he's fine.
It was a really, really cheap bus that had like several layovers in other states.
So I've seen Rudy of these three movies. I've seen Rudy the most. I don't even know how many times I've seen Rudy. When I taught the finance class at BYU. My last lecture of the season, of the year, of the semester, I did play a clip from Rudy and tried to incorporate it into a live lesson, and I am not ashamed of that at all. So
I've now seen Rudy twice.
That's it? Wow.
This is only my second time.
Yet. I'm watching it right now.
So I can say the same thing for Tin Cup. I've seen Tin Cup twice now.
You'd seen Tin Cup before. I'd never seen Tin Cup
before. I had seen Tin Cup before, yeah.
I had guessed John had not seen Tin Cup. That was my guess when I picked that movie.
Right, right. Why would I even see Tin Cup? Why would I do that?
Because you love golf and you love Kevin Costner and you were hoping to catch some Kevin Costner butt.
Yes, except the opposite of all those.
So, JR, I do have to say one thing. So you know how in the Facebook group you always post, like you do your running commentary for the movies, which I enjoy, by the way. I look at those often if it's a movie I've seen. It always shows, but as a summary on Facebook, it shows the last comment you made is like the comment underneath whatever the movie is. Okay. And so I always get your last comment in the feed. And so I went and looked at it. It's incredible. These could be your like Siskel and Ebert like tweet sized review. So it said, Rudy, better than I remembered. It was like, Tin Cup. So no Costner butt. Sorry. Natural. The Natural. I love the Falling Sparks. Great ending.
True.
That's all you need.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with most of those. But I mean, Roy, for someone who's only seen Rudy twice, how inspired were you by Rudy's story?
So, I mean, I
because he didn't do anything.
Okay. What are you talking? He didn't do anything. What are you saying?
He didn't. No, but,
John, can you edit that out of the podcast? He worked.
I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can, but I'm only one man. I don't know what I can edit out.
He overcame it all of the gaslighting, all of the negativity, all of the obstacles. He sacrificed a ton, and just through sheer grit and intensity, no athletic ability, he achieved his dream. What are you talking about?
It's impressive to watch, right? And he did achieve his dream. It's kind of like Eddie the Eagle a little bit, right? But like Rhett said, like zero athletic ability. Like a lot of these guys are born with like just some natural skill, and they put in a certain amount of effort, and they're able to perform. And Rudy, like giving 7,000%, gets to play for two plays in college football. But that's his victory, right? I don't think he ever had any dream or illusion that he was going to be like a star. He right. just wanted to
he
play.
The thing is, he may have worked harder than anybody else, you know, which is true. But like that other guy who was also on the beat up squad with him, you know, who was there, who like had all the pressure from his father and everything, you know, he may not have deserved it as much as Rudy because he didn't want it as much as Rudy, but he did deserve it as much as Rudy in that, you know, he would have made this I think the same difference that Rudy would have made. Probably more, you know. Like, and so, like, you know, it's like, yeah, Rudy deserved it because he wanted it. But that's the thing; it was like, it was 4 years of him wanting so bad that, and that spilled over to nagging and whining about it to everybody.
John, why do you hate fun?
I think John might be allergic to fun.
I am allergic to fun.
I will say, and I forgot about this, so because you guys were talking about whether or not he had an interest in that girl, and it kind of fades, but our quarterback from our college, Zach Wilson, who's now with the New York Jets and hoping for the best, but the Jets are not a great spot. But anyway, the point is did you know Zach Wilson wears a wedding ring, and it's because he's married to the game, and that may be kind of a hope thing.
it was awesome. So
he's going to jam his finger, and they're going to have to cut his finger off because of that.
No, they thought the New York press was going to tear him apart, and they were like, why do you wear a ring if you're not married? And he replied back, I'm married to the game, which is like incredible shoot spot from him. Like, I'm all on board. I'm still riding Zach Wilson bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the addition of the is it a new offensive coordinator or a quarterback
coach? Yeah, I hope the Jets. I that's a whole separate podcast, but yes, yeah. I'm hopeful.
If the Jets aren't that good, then I mean he can only shine brighter on the Jets.
Well, no, it could destroy his career.
It could destroy his career.
Yeah.
So no Jets quarterback since Namath has passed for more than 6,000 yards? That seems like anyone who starts for three consecutive years ought to be able to do that. So that's how bad it's been at the quarterback position for decades at the Jets, right? It's bad. Anyway.
Yeah, someone's got a quarterback for the Jets. Good for him.
They've been terrible for a long, long time.
Yeah, have they been the most consistently bad NFL team? Because like that's always like whenever I hear like bad teams, yeah. I always think Jets.
Well, the Jets a few years ago the Browns kind of felt the same way. Like there was no hope for the Browns to ever turn it around, and so because the Browns finally like had a really good season, then you know there's always hope. There's always hope. We haven't been doing this, but the natural, by the way, $28 million is what it cost. It made $48 million, so good. 82% on Rotten Tomato. Rudy, I have no idea how much it cost. It made $23 million.
Oh, I have it up. Budget was 12.
12. Well, good for them.
Both of these movies kind of doubled the budget.
Yeah, and 78% on Rotten Tomatoes for Rudy. And John, you're about to get to Tin Cup, which is 71%. So these are all fresh movies. Tin Cup made $8 million from 45 to 50.
It's okay.
Because no one wanted to see the sequel to Fandango where he becomes a golfer.
I thought this was the sequel to Prince of Thieves.
Okay.
Hear that deep sigh. Rudy.
And that's one thing about Rudy that's always bugged me is that whenever BYU plays Notre Dame and I start chanting Rudy, 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 like it's 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, no one joins me.
It's a I join you every time. It is a great joke.
And the joke's even funnier now because Rudy is now a member of the LDS Church.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think... Okay, but what does Rudy wear during the BYU-Notre Dame games? I mean, surely he's...
The last time BYU-Notre Dame played, he was still Catholic, right? Because Notre Dame has refused to honor the second half of their contract for about 6 or 7 years now.
He was baptized in 2017, so yeah, that makes sense. Wait, where does he live? He was baptized in Highland, Utah? Like,
yeah,
so
he might
moved
be your neighbor.
To Utah? Like, why on earth did he move to Utah?
Well, so he's also had kind of a complicated history later. He did some security fraud with a pump and dump scheme. It was back in 2011. Had to settle with the SEC. He had some problems back in the late 2000s. So, yeah.
No, Rudy. I know. All right.
Boy,
I can't believe John did. I cannot believe John did bring that up. I thought for sure he would be like, he wants to dump on Rudy.
So you guys love Rudy, huh? Well, guess what?
It's going to be a takedown. I don't sum up the movie at all. I just take down the real actual person.
All right. So Tin Cup is based on a true story, right?
Yeah, I think, right?
Well, so no. He did play baseball. Okay. Anyway, like the end scene in Tin Cup is based off of a real golfer having done that thing, right?
It is. Yes, it is.
And actually, the golfer who did it was like in the film. They filmed him as like one of the commentators or something.
Yeah, he was the Matt Colvin? He was the announcer, Gary. What's his name? I can't remember now that you say that.
Gary something.
No, not Gary Kasparov. Gary McCord. So they used his real name, and he's actually in the scene. And I haven't recapped the movie yet, but in the scene where he hits it from inside of the clubhouse, he's the one with he's got the soda thing, pretending like it's a microphone.
Oh,
like,
really? Yeah. That's not an actor. That's like a.
That's a real golfer.
Yeah. And that's the golfer who they based that shot off of, too.
Yes, it's incredible.
That's funny.
Okay, so you want me, Tin Cup? Are we moving on to Tin Cup?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So Tin Cup is a golf movie based on a real story. No, I'm just kidding. It's so Kevin Costner plays a down-and-out, you know, former college golf star who runs a driving range in Podunk, West Texas, somewhere between Odessa and Midland.
A driving game range with like no grass, right? Like,
no, it's great. It's West Texas. Yeah. That's the point. Is this West Texas?
My goodness. I lived in San Angelo for a year and a half, which is about an hour away from where this was supposed to be filmed.
I've been That's to awesome. That place in San Angelo. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just hangs out with his pals and drinks, and Cheech Marin plays Romeo. He's like, you know, his caddy when he plays, like his best friend. Renee Russo wanders in. She plays Dr. Molly Griswold, which I love the fact her name is Griswold. I want to think this lives in the same universe as the
right. It's movies. Clark's cousin or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I want to live with that one. Yeah. She asks him for a lesson. He teaches her. Probably my favorite scene from the movie is when she asks him to describe the perfect swing, and he's got this like poetry thing that he recites, and it's just absolutely wonderful. I love it. Huh. Finds out her crummy boyfriend is Don Johnson. Guy's name is Sims in the movie. I'm calling him Don Johnson.
Don Johnson. Out, he's like famous for playing every racist in everything he does in the last 10 years.
It's true. I watched The Watchmen, and it was awesome, by the way.
Yeah,
I finished totally. But yeah, so Don Johnson invites him to come be the caddy at his local benefit tournament because Roy knows the course so well. Right towards the, like, on the back nine, I think it's like hole like 16 or whatever, Sims lays up. He's playing it safe, and he's like, I can get on from here. And the other golfer's like, your caddy basically dared me to try to get on. So he's like, I got $100 because you can't hit it or whatever. And he's like, yeah, if you hit it, you're fired. And then he goes and hits it perfectly and then gets fired, and it's kind of incredible.
Really quick question. This is just – I think I got it, but just what's the definition of laying up?
Yeah, so if especially on like par fives.
Yeah.
If you're a good hitter, 230 yards is a pretty long shot, not off a tee, and so it's wild. Like, you get hit in the water, you get hit out of bounds. It's just there's too much variance at that range. You could be all over the course, and so rather than hit it onto the green with your second shot and try to go for an eagle or a birdie, you choose a lower club and you hit it before the hole. You're actually not trying to get on the green, even though you might be able to. So you lay up, you hit short. So, you know, he takes out like a 7-iron and it's like 150. So then you've got a better shot to get it back.
Pretty much passing it to a guy right under the basket so he can lay up.
Yeah, that works. If that works for you, that works for you.
Yeah, that'll work.
So then, he gets fired. He's down and out again. He has to go. He's in love with, he goes to see Renee Russo, and in a really funny scene with her, like, trying to shrink him, and has some great lines. And then he realized that he needs to, like, go be that he's like, I'm going to go qualify for the U.S. Open. And so – and that'll impress her. And so he goes to the qualifying round. He's doing really good. He's on track for the course record. And Cheech Marin's like – he's like, no, you want to lay up here. This comes up again. And he's like, you should lay up. And he's like, no. He's like, I can sit the course. He's like, you don't need the course record to qualify. Your goal is to qualify. Just qualify. And then Cheech Marin breaks his clubs. So they each break a bunch of clubs until he's just got a 7-iron left. And he ends up finishing the round with a 7-iron.
Yeah.
Which is kind of incredible.
By the way, I never would have thought that qualifying for the U.S. Open was far easier than making the Notre Dame football team.
It is, actually. Yeah. if at least if you're talented, if you've got some talent, it is, right?
Yeah.
So then it goes into a scene which I love. Don Johnson's there. He's like, and you know, he's he's a little drunk. You know, Kevin Costner's a little drunk. He's like, I beat you any game. He's like, okay. He's like, what's the game? So he bets him his car versus like $1,000 or something. I can't remember. And he's like, yeah. He's like, they hit the longest ball. And then he's like, I can do that. He's like, with your 7-iron. So Roy goes and, you know, hits it and drives it like 230 or something. I can't remember. He's like, oh, it's like, didn't quite get all of it, but that'll do. And then Don Johnson just turns 90 degrees and hits the shot down the road, and it just keeps going, which is an amazing hustle. And I tell this scene because about a year ago last summer, we were outside with the neighbor kids that like live right next door. They got two teenage boys, and they were throwing some tennis balls. And I was like, hey, I bet you guys I can throw a tennis ball farther than either one of you. And they're like, no way. I'm like, sure, I'll bet you. And I ended up, I can't remember what I bet him. It was like, I bet him something big. And yeah.
All their juice money.
Right. So I walked out to the middle of the, I was like, let's go out in the front of the house. And, you know, that way we have more room. So we walked into the middle of the road in front of our house. I'm like, you guys go first. And I was purposely facing the back of the house. So they both threw it over the house. And they're like, okay, you're up. And then I turned 90 degrees and I threw it down the street. And it's a perfect, it's a sloping road. It was perfect. And the older one, the second he saw me go to throw it, he just drops his head and goes, oh, no. Because he knew he'd been hustled. I'm like, yeah, you guys should watch more movies from the 90s. So where was I? They get into a fight, you know, Romeo, but they make up or whatever.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, and then
Romeo was surprisingly, you know, he just wouldn't. I don't know. If I were Romeo, I would have just been like, yeah, whatever, man. You know, he really surprisingly stood his ground with, you know, all of this with the 7-irons and everything and all that. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, they were friends. They were drunk friends. I mean, it's loyalty first, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm leaving out some of the other stuff, parts of the movies. Like, there's a stripper involved that she owns. He owes her, and he has to get his clubs out of Hawk by playing with his garden tools. He bets some dude.
The garden tools scene.
Yeah. there's a bunch of scenes like that are just kind of random. But basically, it's to prove that this dude's a loser and, like, a perennial, like, drunk loser type guy. That he's got brilliance if he can just control it, but he never does. And that's what ends up playing up. And then he gets the shanks. And the shanks are just hilarious because he tries to get rid of him in all the ways he told, you know, whatever. So he goes to the U.S. Open. He gets drunk the first day and shoots like an 80 something. It was terrible. Then the next day,
because that was the plan, right? Well, you're always a loser. Yeah, if you have a little drink. So they stayed up all night, right?
Yeah, he got too drunk. But then the next day he shoots an amazing round or so. He like sets the course record like a 65 or something ridiculous like that, or 62, or I don't remember. But the whole point is they get to the last day. Oh, and then he gets with Rene Russo and, you know, they're hooking up or whatever. And then the last day, and every day of the tournament on the 18th, I think it was the 18th hole. You know, he could make it to the green, but if you don't hit the shot perfectly, it would go in the water, and so everybody lays up because it's a safer play. And every day he tries it, and every day it goes into the water, but he still does really well. And then the last day, he's like, you know, if he lays up, he can still win or at least force a playoff, which is you play another hole. But instead, he goes for it. He shoots the 12. He just keeps shooting the balls from there, and it like goes down in massive flames. But it also has, and I don't think I'm going to go with this line, so I'm going to tell you this line. You know, Rene Russo tells me, like, yeah, she's like, it doesn't matter. He's like, I blew the U.S. Open. And she's like, no. She's like, 5 years from now, no one will remember who won or lost, but they're going to remember your 12, which I think is really kind of cool because, you know, people forget that sports is entertainment. And I think the really best athletes realize this. I think that's why Steph Curry sometimes, like, he shoots as deep as he does. Or, you know, he'll shoot threes and, like, he'll turn and start running back and not even watch it go in, because that sort of thing adds that drama or that entertainment value to the game. It's a lot better than just a layup, right? It's like the famous, you know, you can lay up or you can dunk like Jordan. They're both worth 2 points, but which one's more important? You know, to have all that. So I think the going for it is really... That's why I picked the movies. Honestly, I was thinking, yeah, sports movie. I was thinking, like, ending. What has a different ending? The spectacle of it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's kind of incredible.
That should have been an award, right?
What?
What's the best spectacle?
Yeah, three? It could have been. I mean, if you had to pick from three. Well, if we had to pick from three, you've got, you know, what, Rudy's tackle. Mm-hmm. You've got the going for 12, or you've got Hobbs's home run hits out the lights.
Or knocking the cover off the ball.
Or knocking the cover
That's
off
another
the ball.
One. Yeah, there you go.
Knocking the cover off the ball was freaking awesome.
The garden tools, I mean, that might work. Not a lot of people saw that.
Rudy getting his butt drilled every day of practice. I don't know. But yeah, that's basically Tin Cup in a nutshell.
My big thing with Tin Cup that I didn't quite understand is near the end when Don Johnson gives the double take when he sees that, like, Rene Russo, like, kissing Kevin Costner, like, at the very end. He's like, hey, my girl. Like, wasn't he kind of tipped off that she wasn't sleeping with him at that point, you know? Like, for the past, like, week?
Yeah, I think he knew. Like, I don't think it was a my girl. I think he was like, yeah, we're over, but, oh, wow, I didn't know they had already, like, picked it up.
Mm-hmm. You want to know the rudest line? When Kevin Costner says to, like, Don Johnson, he's like, well, I'm glad you made par. And I think it's in reference with the less hot version of Rene Russo that Don Johnson had picked up at that point. Because she was right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
So the thing with, like, their romance, though, is I could smell his motorhome, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's filthy. Like, throughout most of the film, he's filthy. And I don't know where he got the nice golf shirts from for the final, the U.S. Open.
But that was his sponsors.
Yeah, I guess so.
Those could have been Don Johnson shirts that Rene Russo grabbed for him.
One of his sponsors was like Rudy, like Woody's Steakhouse or Woody's Roundup. Yeah. Or something. But
called like Willie's Steakhouse in the press conference. He like doesn't know his own sponsors.
So he's so gross. Like
he
like,
is, and when she first meets him, he's literally chewing on a sausage. It's like it's really gross.
it's kind of I don't know. It's Rene Russo. I don't know. Like this is a man's movie, and you know she's just that cool girl who like whisks into town and she's dating some other guy, and then you know, but she likes the lovable goofball who's like. And I was just thinking about this. When did Lebowski come out? The next year, right? This is Lebowski, but it's the before Lebowski. He's kind of playing the dude.
Yeah, the dude?
Yeah.
I could see that.
I don't know. I mean, she is a doctor. She shouldn't... I mean, obviously she's going to fall for Kevin Costner, but that's just kind of... I think that's just kind of male wishful thinking. There's a little bit of a... Like, she's like middle-aged, right? You know, she's old. She's Rene Russo. She's like old hot, right? She's like a dream old girl.
Well, there's the scene where you actually, when she comes to the train, and she actually, like, confesses how messed up she is, that she, like, you know, she was from Ohio, but, like, dated a cowboy, and then ended up, like, doing real estate in Corpus Christi or something, and, like, went bust, and, like, she's kind of a mess. Like, when you first meet her, she's like, oh, she's a well-put-together doctor. But, yeah, turns out she's kind of a crappy therapist. And
yeah, she's not good.
Like, she's damaged goods, too. Like, she's not good. Like, they're both kind of losers. In their
Isn't it annoying how the damaged goods people are, like, just way easier to pick up?
I guess that's
a thing. But another thing I kind of don't like, and you see this a lot, like, this was my big complaint about Ocean's 11, is that it's not so much that George Clooney is a good person, you know, to get Julia Roberts. It's that Julia Roberts realized that Andy Garcia was a bad person. And that's what happens here, too. You know, she comes across Don Johnson being rude to an orphan or something. She's like, oh.
It was old people, kids, and dogs.
Yes. And he was, like, mean to all of them. Like, it was a family with a dog, like grandparents and a grandson and a dog.
Yeah, it was amazing.
By the way, they were all Costners.
Yeah, it was Kevin Costner's parents and son, right?
Yeah. I also like how they set up that joke really well, though, because like Kevin Costner says it to her. He's like, you should know about him that he hates old people and kids and dogs. And it sounds like he's just being spiteful. But then Costner's buddy, who wears the TCU shirts, the big dude with the beard and stuff, he says, yeah, he hates old people and dogs. And they're like, don't forget kids or whatever. It's like, wait, like, what? And she kind of double takes, like, wait a minute. Two people know this, so he wasn't just making that up?
That's what he's famous for. He, like, has a newsletter, like, how much he hates those things. Like, it's that well known.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm trying to think if there's anything. The only other note I have about Tin Cup is that, okay, the TCU guy, you know, saying that, that's pretty good. But I think my biggest pet peeve of this movie is just all his dumb friends just being dumb friends together. And, like, when Rene Russo would, like, look over back at him, and then they would all duck, you know. They're like, you know, like kids from the Sandlot or something. Like, oh, come on, you guys. They were annoying.
Yeah, it was kind of a trope from the 90s movies. I mean, this movie's supposed to be like a sports movie, but it's really a chick flick. Right?
Would you say it's a chick flick?
Sort of, yeah.
I mean, romantic comedy, which it's a romantic comedy, right?
We never get the goods from Kevin.
No Bear Hinders is what you're saying?
I mean, Prince of Thieves had been out 3 years before, and I remember the big controversy in the 90s was that was a stunt double. So you had to go to Dancing with Wolves if you want the real thing.
Well, Dancing with Wolves, you see the Hinders, but you also see, like, partial foliage in the front. So I think Kevin enjoys being naked in films, right? And what was it? Was it Bull Bush Durham? Is he naked in a shower in Bull Durham as well?
Yeah. I mean, if you were that hot, you'd be naked too.
Maybe
that's probably true.
Well, let me get. I don't know. Okay. Do we know any girls who enjoy Tin Cup? I'm curious about this.
I know girls. Yeah, I do.
It doesn't come up very often.
Yeah. I mean,
my wife says she liked it. I was like, hey, I need to watch Tin Cup. She's like, yeah, I like Tin Cup. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, nice. Well, it's just okay. Yeah, there is romance, but I just feel like the romance, like. It doesn't have the whole, like, misunderstanding situation and they have to like each other. It's just very simple. I'm not saying that in a bad way because it's so refreshing, you know, to have Rene Russo just kind of be this quirky girl who likes him and is attracted to him from the very beginning, and she has to get out of this other thing, and that's it. And there's not the usual, like, rom-com thing where there's the weird misunderstanding or there's a bet, and there's, like, so much... on the romance, you know? It's like a side thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I get it. But, like, his romantic tactic is to simply wear her down over time, right?
Over, like, 3 days? I mean, I don't know. He didn't try that hard. He's just Kevin Costner, right? That's the thing.
Yeah. No, he's fine. I was going to say something else. Let's see. Anything else from that movie I want to talk about? Okay, so you guys know I have a podcast that's kind of been dormant. It's called Going for Zero.
Podcast, John told me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might – one of these days I'm going to resurface it. But the whole point of the name of the podcast was you just do stuff for the hell of it, or you like – you got to go for it even if it doesn't make sense. I think that's the moral from Tin Cup is like you do some – you know, the famous quote of Sir Edmund Hillary is like, why did you climb Everest? Because it was there. It's like, why did you try to shoot from 230 yards out on the green? And he's like, yeah, because it was there. I like that. Just doing something just to do it.
Well, I will say, because this is very similar to Rudy, and there's something about the defiance of Tin Cup that I kind of like more, because I kind of feel like Kevin Costner, like, he's an amazing golfer, but he also doesn't care about golf. He doesn't care about the U.S. Open. He was just trying to impress somebody.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, and, so it's kind of the opposite of Rudy, right? Because he has an enormous amount of talent that he doesn't. He's almost disdainful of his talent.
Yeah,
right.
It's almost like, you know, the defiance he has was defiance against the game instead of trying to join the game. You know.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that.
Yeah. So anyway, Tin Cup. I'm glad I saw it. I'd never seen it before. I'd heard people talking about it, but you know, I'm not. I heard people around the pro shop mentioning Tin Cup a lot. So
for all the golfing you do?
Yeah.
For all the golfing.
Yeah. Well, not the golfing, just the pro shopping.
Can I
I'm a professional shopper.
There's nothing better than a good golf shirt. Like I used to collect golf shirts when my dad would force me to go golfing with him, and I always made the mistake of getting white ones, and a couple barbecues later I had to throw them away. But anyway,
can you tell your dad I'll go golfing with him anytime? Just have him. Just let me know.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love to. So
yeah, you guys are in the same county.
Yeah. Real quick, before we get to the awards, that's the next section, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to awards, I don't think this is an award, so I want to ask this question. of the 3 stars of these 3 movies, who is the most realistic as an athlete in their sport? I'm going to say probably not Rudy. That's the point of the movie. So you got Koster or Robert Redford. Who do you believe more is either a golfer or a baseball player?
Koster.
So Koster, yes. So my understanding is like that's him, right? Like the shots he's hitting, which maybe he's not nailing it 230 yards down, but like it's him, right? It's him. He's being filmed golfing.
Redford does have a good throw, though. You're right.
He does, and he actually played high school baseball and was actually pretty good from what I understand. But yeah, I agree with you. When Koster walks down in the last towards the end of the movie, on like the last day of the tournament, like he looks like he belongs on a golf course, and then his swing is so it's beautiful. It's like actually a really beautiful swing. Mm-hmm. Now the great irony, I think Kevin Koster is probably one of the. He's up there for actors who have played athletes who actually look like they should. So like Bull Durham for the Love Game, like he literally played college baseball, right? Am I getting that right?
Well, it seems right.
So, but Sean Astin did steroids, so I mean,
no, you know what? I'm totally wrong. I think it was Redford who played college baseball.
Ah, shoot!
I don't know. For Colorado. I'm Googling. That's what we do.
Okay. Yeah.
So, anytime I see Sean Astin in any film, all I can think of is his character in 50 First Dates.
Yes,
that's
so
right. Okay, that's the steroid guy.
The steroid guy with the fake tan and the bad lisp. Anytime an actor is willing to make fun of a lisp, I'm on board.
that's you know, along with old people, children, and dogs. That's the other thing you hate.
Oh, people with lisps. Wow. I'm coming.
Yeah, so Redford was on a baseball scholarship to the University of Colorado. So that's because that's the other thing. Redford, I mean, for a lefty too, he looks really good. Like when he hits and throws, it looks legit. It does not look weird. Unlike, did you guys see White Men Can't Jump?
I was gonna bring that up because I know I know you're going like Wesley Snipes in his dribbling and White Men Can't Jump.
Not Woody Harrelson. Wesley Snipes. Yeah, Woody Harrelson actually looks good. It's Wesley Snipes who can't play.
That's funny.
Ooh, did you consider White Men Can't Jump for this?
I didn't. That would have been an interesting one because that's an underrated movie.
So originally, Rhett had Happy Gilmore, and then he swapped it up to Tin Cup.
Oh, okay. It was Happy Gilmore. I thought, okay. Yeah, because it had to be a golf thing.
It didn't have to be golf. I was trying to do it for sports. You guys already did Hoosiers, which was sad to me.
And but, Caddyshack.
Because you hate Hoosiers?
No, I love Hoosiers. I wanted to do it selfishly.
You should listen to that one because there were some criticisms about Hoosiers that I think you need to hear.
So by the way, like I desperately want what's the name of the – is it Hickory?
Yes.
I desperately want a Jimmy Chidwood Hickory jersey.
It's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there.
So I do have my brother Josh gave me a jersey to I don't even know what the character's name is anymore from Teen Wolf. I've got a
Scott Howard.
Scott Howard. I've got Scott Howard's basketball jersey, yeah.
Yeah, Scott Howard, man. Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty amazing.
I have related to Rhett's question about like who looks best playing the sports, I do have a specific an award for that that's related, so I will get to that. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah, you're in charge, buddy.
Okay, awards time. Roy, what's the best title?
The Natural, because the other two are just names, and I cannot agree with the name Tin Cup being used for a human being.
Yeah.
So, can I disagree? Is this where I disagree?
I will quickly agree because I say the Natural for this award. Rhett, what do you have to say?
So I was going to say that, but then I thought about it. It doesn't quite work for the movie. I don't love that in any sort of the theme or what the movie's about or anything. Rudy it's just the name, so it doesn't work. Tin Cup, because it's so random, it has nothing. It almost leans into like. Okay, we're just going to call him Tin Cup. It's like, why? It's like, because he was a catcher in high school and the pitcher threw curveballs and he was always getting hit. And so we called him that instead of Clank. And I'm like, okay, that story's so random. I kind of like the name for that reason.
Well, I know. Okay. maybe I should change it to Tin Cup, because when you put it that way, that you like it for its randomness, but like I was kind of I'm like, did they think of Tin Cup in like 2 seconds? Just whatever popped into their head first?
I want to say probably. I just love it.
Someone just was looking around the room, right? They're like, syrup bottle? No, okay.
Well, well, let me get back to your criticism of The Natural as a title, because I was going to bring this up. Roy, when you had your tear-felt confession about, tear-felt? Heartfelt. Yeah. Tear-induced, tear-filled confession about The Natural and how it's about screwing up and just fixing yourself and getting better. I was going to sarcastically say, well, it does help if you're, just naturally good at this thing you keep screwing up on, which does take away from,
baseball. He wasn't screwing up baseball.
Okay.
He was screwing up his life, right? He wasn't screwing up baseball.
He was picking murderers to date.
He's supernaturally talented at baseball. He super sucks at being a judge of character.
Yeah.
And controlling his libido. That's where he sucks.
It goes back to one of your favorite things, like when they say the title of the movie in the movie. Yeah. I don't ever think they say the word natural in the movie.
They do.
Do they?
They do. Yeah. It's okay. When he's pitching to the Whammer, his manager, what's his head, says he's a natural. He's a natural.
His manager says he's a the natural.
He's a the natural. He's a the La Natural.
Rhett, what's the best poster of these?
Okay. I think it's Rudy. I was looking at the posters. I actually like Rudy. It's not Tin Cup. They try to sell that as a romantic comedy or a chick flick with that poster.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah, she's just shoving him over in that poster.
Yeah, they could have done – yeah, she kind of is. They could have done way better with the Natural poster. I really think they're – the shot of him kneeling down with his jersey getting ready to hit, a still from the movie like that would have been better, or even some of their black and white motif or something. I just didn't like it as much, but the Rudy poster I liked the most. And I found the fun fact was that picture was actually taken at Stanford Stadium, so we'll give that a pass. But other than that, I like that poster the best.
Okay, Roy, what do you think as far as posters go?
Yeah, I picked Rudy. I think The Natural, they should have chosen another image.
Thank you.
Maybe the goodbye Mr. Spalding shot, right? The final baseball approaches the bat, but the Tin Cup poster, that's just awful. I can smell him. And he's wearing his hat backwards, which is and his hair is, it's not just that it's backwards, but he's allowing his bangs to come through.
It's bad on every level.
Right. But one positive thing about Tin Cup as a poster is it's the only one with a girl in it, which always helps a poster. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No blue. No, there's no blue and black in any of these, though, John.
No, I know. There's no real blue. Rudy is probably the blackest of all posters in this section. But I'm actually going with The Natural because you're right. There are so many other images from The Natural that may have been better, but The Natural is the only of these three posters that has Robert Redford's killer smile in it. That's right.
Yep. There you go.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Well, wait. There is a alternate poster that you did not include, JR or Roy. Sorry. That actually I like better than the one they used, where it's got him and Glenn Close silhouetted against him wearing a fedora and street clothes. That was actually pretty good. That was the other poster.
The VHS sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it was. Yes, sorry. Well, I guess it wasn't the poster. That's a good one.
Best credits. Best opening credits, Roy.
Oh, you're asking me. So, best opening credits. So, I feel like the opening credits for Rudy kind of write themselves, right? It's your inspirational football movie. But also, I didn't like the opening credits to Tin Cup at all because I don't like West Texas or the music or the font. And The Natural, I had Rudy. I'm switching back to The Natural. It's just kind of austere, right? Simple credits, not a whole lot going on. He's sitting at the bus station. So I'm switching back to The Natural.
I concur. I kind of did the same thought process. I also I think the music's better. So I give the music for The Natural opening as the what tipped it. Although we'll get to song, I'm sure. But
yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have some questions about the song when that comes up. I went with the West Texas opening credits, the armadillo and the weird stuff, just because I thought it was so funny. I'm like, okay, I think I might like this movie because I thought it was so absurd that it was a golf movie and I couldn't see any grass anywhere in the opening credits.
So anytime I see an armadillo in a film, all I can think about is the scene from the original Dracula where they're in the scary Dracula castle and there's an armadillo. So I feel like armadillos are a horror trope. Like, it's supposed to be scary. So I don't know. Anyway.
Very good.
I'm done.
Rhett, best technology of these.
What? Okay.
What kind of screwy order are you... Oh, okay.
No, that's the right order. What are you talking about?
This is not the right order.
Yes, it is.
Too bad. Go ahead.
I have the radio call over the end of the game.
Natural. Radio technology.
Radio free waves, yeah.
Okay.
And my runner-up is the golf watch that Rene Russo gave.
I wrote that down. I was wondering, what does a golf watch do? Does it measure wind or something?
No, that's the point, is it's a scam.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask what a golf watch was. Okay, Roy, your technology.
Yeah, Kevin Costner, who wears the librarian glasses tether. Or yes. Is that, you call it a glasses tether or glasses anchor or rope? Yeah. I have no idea.
It's got the plumb bob at the end or the pendulum, yes. that does your swing. Yeah.
I have... No, not that weird thing. Not the thing that Rene Russo bought. Oh. Just like the rope that ties to both sides of his glasses so he can hang the glasses on his neck. Like an old librarian. I have no idea.
They call them croakies back in the day. Yeah.
Sure.
It's a string that holds glasses on your head.
He looks like a dope wearing them. Okay. That's all there is to it.
Wow.
That's
okay. My favorite. Not technology. A lot of technology in these movies, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Yet.
Okay, no, this is a winner, you guys. This is the technology. It's Harriet Bird's silver bullet.
And it gnaws at his stomach?
It gnaws at his... Like, here are the properties of this silver bullet. First of all, it knocks you out for 16 years.
No, so if you crank that spot I was talking about, he says that he was in a hospital for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, it knocks him out for 2 years, fine. And then also a weird side effect is it turns you from a pitcher into a hitter during that time. And then also, after 17 years, your stomach explodes. It's pretty much just like, you know, the end punch that Uma Thurman gives John Carradine in Kill Bill at the end. It's like the delayed heart explosion thing. So
It also debunks the anti-vaxxers theory that silver nitrate will cure you from everything.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, it did cure him of pitching, I suppose. Maybe. I don't know. All right, Rhett, what's the best name?
The best name? Okay. I thought about Bump Bailey.
I thought about that one.
By the way, you are going out of order now, so I don't know what your problem is, but that's okay. I thought about going with Bump Bailey. But I'm going to go with the Whammer because it is so. It sounds like it should be like a hitter, like Slammer, like he hits balls, but you don't wham balls. So it's like it's just a great like oh, what's like wham, like ooh, wham. It's like that. I don't know. I just love it.
Whammy. It's kind of like like it's a bad thing to wham something to get whammed.
Kind of. It's just it's just great. Can I give my least favorite now, or do you want me to wait till we're done?
You can give it. Yeah, we don't have our least favorite name, so...
Okay, least favorite name is Memo, because the first, like, five times I saw this movie, I didn't know what he was saying. I'm like, wait, what? That's her name? Is he... What? It's what? It's a terrible name. Yeah.
It's a weird name. Like, it ends in an O. Girls' names shouldn't end in O. And what does it mean? Copy? Yeah. Like,
I thought... Yeah. Oh, actually, maybe it does mean, like, it's the dark copy. It's the shadier copy. I kind of like that theory now, but I also thought it would be spelled, like, French, like M-E... M-E-M, like E-I-U-X or something.
Yeah.
No, M-E-M-O, just Memo. Yeah.
If she's a copy, that makes sense because Circe can copy the appearance of other people, right?
There we go.
Yes.
Bringing it back.
Ah, Circe. Roymond, what's your name?
D-Bob.
D-Bob's so good. That was my runner-up.
Is that Jon Favreau?
Yes. It is.
Okay. Since you took the Whammer, which I wrote down, I'm going to go with Molly Griswold.
Good. It's a great name.
Griswold. So, yeah, there we go. Okay, Roy, best food?
How about a couple refreshing lemonades at the Parkside Candy Store?
Parkside Candy Store lemonades. Okay, good. Rhett?
I have when he goes to, when Roy Hobbs goes to dinner that first day with the, not Will Wilford Brimley, but the other guy that plays, is it Red?
Yeah, Red. Yeah. Red.
And he goes, I mean, the food must be good because he says, can't spell it, but it eats pretty good, don't it?
Oh, right. It's Italian food. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. I should have picked that. I just went with Waffle House.
Waffle House.
Which I've never had Waffle House, but they all seem to like it, so I'm gonna get to a Waffle House one day.
It's I've only been to one in my life, but it was a good experience. Like, it's really cheap, and it's decent.
Oh, okay. I will go. All right, Roy, best outfit.
The Roy Hobbs number 9 pinstripe jersey.
Number 9 pinstripe jersey, yeah. Not number 11. By the way, the guy passing out jerseys, does he say that to every single person? Don't take 11. It's bad luck.
I was gonna give you 11. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally does. 100%. That's the right answer, there, okay. JR. It is the Knights number 9 uniform jersey. Yeah. Like that. That's probably one of the best. Costumes of like cinema history. It's iconic. You cannot. Yes.
Okay.
So I love it, and I own one, and I kind of like, I have a couple like business shirts with like movie company logos, but this is the one that gets recognized the most. People who have actually seen The Natural.
Okay. Well, I went with the Barbara Hershey sexy ninja assassin black negligee. Yeah.
It's she's actually in mourning. It's funeral attire.
Yeah,
she wore it to her own funeral. I mean, we ought to give an honorable mention to the Notre Dame jacket that his friend Pete bought for him before he died. Yeah, I just want to give a shout out there.
I thought about that. Okay. Okay, Roy, best alien. This is always the hardest one.
I'm gonna go with Gus the Cyclops.
Ooh, I like it.
All right, because he has a weird eye.
And yes, because he's the Cyclops.
He's Gamblor. Okay. Rhett, do you have an alien?
Yeah, Barbara Hershey.
Okay, yeah, she's not of this world. Very good.
It's too random. She's too random. It makes no sense.
I picked Rudy, who's an alien at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But I'm bummed. I thought somebody was going to go inappropriate and pick Cheech Marin, but that's okay.
We've kind of... The first year of this podcast, we did a lot of that.
That was a lot of that joke. Okay.
Okay, Rhett, what's the best FX?
Definitely the lights exploding.
Yeah.
Yep, second that.
Okay, you second. Okay, I have one runner-up. The big runner-up is from the Natural when he goes to his hotel room and he looks out the window and... out the window is just stock footage of Chicago.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It's like really old stock footage. Like, what is the old stock footage? Yeah,
so there's that. But the one, my winner, I think, and maybe this isn't FX, I don't know, but at the very beginning of Tin Cup, when Kevin Costner says, okay, you have until I can hit the... I can wedge this ball like 500 times to figure out my riddle, and it shows the wedge... And he's tapping it with a wedge, and he's bouncing the ball, and the camera pans up, and it's Kevin Costner doing it, and he's not even looking at the wedge at all.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I think you really did that.
That's too crazy, though. That must have been a trick, right? Because even Tiger Woods, doesn't he look at the ball when he does that?
Probably, you're right.
I don't know. I mean, it was really good. It looked great. Yeah. Okay. Rhett, best location.
I like how you skipped a whole bunch, but that's okay. We can do that.
Sorry.
I have a Notre Dame Stadium, and Rudy's dad even says as much. He says, this is the best damn sight these eyes have ever seen.
Oh, I guess that's pretty cool. Yeah, you're right. Roy?
So if college football has a temple, it's probably Notre Dame Stadium.
Not Temple University Stadium?
No, because
they're terrible. Temples.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm going to go back to the Parkside Candy Store. That seems delightful.
That place is amazing. I'm with you on that one.
Weirdly, I don't know if it's just because it's the last movie I saw, but just the tiny Texas town that's actually pretty terrible and dusty. So I'll go there.
It kind of feels like, you remember in Thor, when they go to the town in New Mexico, and it's like, okay, this is obviously an entirely fake town they made for this movie.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like that.
Okay, Roy, best song.
In Rudy, you have Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I caught that too, yes.
Okay. Rhett, you have a song?
So, is it a loophole if you go with the score?
I'm cool with it. Roy has huge problems with it. He might
want okay.
to. Okay,
that's,
what?
Okay, that's fine.
Then you told me I couldn't do score in the past.
Did I? So I don't know. You're okay. Fine. You can choose a song for score.
No. I'll respect the nature. Then I'm going to go with
I didn't know that was a rule. Okay.
I'm gonna go with the Notre Dame fight song. Because it's kind of it's pretty iconic.
Oh. Edgemont at the foot of the hill.
Oh yeah, my gosh, is the Notre Dame fight song or Edgemont Eagles fight song?
Yes, our elementary school stole Notre Dame's fight song.
Oh, there you go, goodness. John.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they all do. My junior high was the Air Force song.
what was our dumb fight song for Edgemont? Something about like really good teachers and a hot meal. Like that was part of our fight song.
Yeah, that's right. And a hot meal. Rhett, did I ever tell you about when Jer and I had to? The worst moment of my life is when, for an assembly, the whole fourth grade had to sing "Coming to America" by Neil Diamond with actions, and the actions were the worst. Like when we sang "They're Coming to America," we had to like put one hand on our hip and then bounce up and down, and then like do the like. Come here with our other hand, like come into it, and we're like bouncing to the come here.
But we also unfurl. We unfurled.
Well, we didn't get to unfurl. I think the sixth graders got the flags unfurled motion, where they spun around and unfurled themselves.
Someone was so proud of themselves for choreographing that.
I need to find out which teacher choreographed that.
Oh man, that's right. Mr. Grass. Mr. Grass.
It's probably Mr. Grass.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Rhett. Okay. My song. Well, my winner is the score to The Natural during the batting into the lights.
Dun-dun. You're not allowed to choose the score. You're not allowed to choose the score.
Cheater. That was my answer.
I know. Okay, I had to mention it. Okay. There's also a song by Chris Isaak in Tin Cup. Called I Wonder, which is Chris. You can hear Chris Isaak singing. Yeah. He kind of has the Roy Orbison voice. It's kind of cool. But if you allow it, my winner is Wonder Boy by Tenacious D, because obviously going through my head with the Wonder Boy bat.
Disqualified.
All right.
Yeah, it's not in the movie, John. It's... Otherwise, I would have chosen Tin Cup by that band that sings that song. So.
And I would have chosen The Natural by Madonna.
Good one, guys. Okay. Roy, best guest star?
Rudy, who is sitting in the stands during the game in which Rudy plays.
Oh, yeah, Rudy himself. Rudy Rudiger, the real Rudy, is there. Fresh off of his SEC violation or whatever you guys were talking about.
No, it was before. It was way later. But
okay. So it was like before his OJ days, I guess. all right, Rhett, who do you have for guest?
Okay, so I got a little confused because there's best guest, external recurring character, and internal recurring character.
Yes.
External recurring character is one that you guys have podcasted about before, right?
Yes, yes.
Internal recurring character is someone who's in more than one of these movies that overlaps one of these three.
Exactly.
Best guest, can that kind of be anyone-ish?
It kind of can be so anyone. Loose. It's the loosest one. Sometimes it helps if it's someone we've never seen before, which is nice.
Okay. It's someone you have seen before, but you don't know his name. So his name is Mike Starr. Okay. In The Natural, he's on the Knights. He's the big dumb guy. He's a tall dude. He's got curly hair. He has gas.
He's in Dumb and Dumber, yes.
He's in Dumb and Dumber. Okay. He's the goon in Dumb and Dumber, so that's why I like him.
That's a good one. I almost picked him.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. But ultimately, my runner-up is Jim Nantz, the commenter who used to do KSL radio, I believe.
He does golf. He still does the Masters. So
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And then I also went with Joe Don Baker, the Whammer. Also Mitchell.
Mitchell.
He shows up in everything too. He's another one of those that guys.
He's a that guy. He's in some James Bond movies and Fletch and stuff like that. Yeah.
The other one in Rudy, the defensive line coach, the defensive coach. He's another one of those guys. You're like, okay, that guy's in everything, but I have no idea what his name is.
I wrote him down. He's the guy in The Fugitive who said he was convicted in a court of law. He's guilty. That guy.
Yeah, his name's Ron Dean.
Yeah.
He was in The Breakfast Club. Just going to point that out.
Oh, yeah. He was Emilio Estevez's dad.
He's Emilio Estevez's father. So he's another one of those. He's a great character actor.
Yeah.
That's probably be the character. Anyways, go on.
Yeah. We're almost doing like rewatchables kind of thing. You know, we could rename it to that guy.
That would kind of overlap there.
Yeah.
Sorry if I stole that from another podcast.
That's what podcasts are for. Roy, best external recurring character now that we've defined it.
Well, it's Ulysses.
The character of Ulysses who's played by
Robert Redford this is external. And Kirk Douglas.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay, that's external. Okay. Rhett, do you have an external recurring character?
I have no idea all the podcasts you guys have done, even though they sent me the list. So I'm going to go with Vince Vaughn, because I'm guessing he was showing up.
We haven't, but Robert Duvall has been in about 10 lately.
Yeah. Yeah. We should make a game show out of external recurring character. Like, pick a random person, we'll tell you what else they've been in and if they're right or wrong.
Get to internal because we all have the same answer.
I know, yeah. My external recurring character is Wilford Brimley is my runner-up, who was in The Thing. And I went with Renee Russo because she's not – but her red head – which is what we just barely did this last time.
Oh, you did Attack of the Redheads, that's right.
Yeah. So it's like Rene Russo is kind of external recurring that way. Okay, internal recurring character. Okay, Rhett, you have something.
Yeah, it's our man Robert Prosky. I watched Thief like a month ago, and it's a pretty incredible movie. Robert Prosky's been on the mind. And so, yeah, when I don't think until this week I'd ever made the connection that he was both the priest in Rudy and he was the judge in The Natural.
I'll be honest, I didn't realize it until you mentioned it. Because I didn't look it up this time, because I did something.
Really?
Else. Yeah. Usually I look it up every time. I look up the connections, but I didn't look it up this time. But that's funny. Okay, so he's the judge and the priest.
Yeah.
Same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Roy, is that one you picked?
It is, but I have an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
James Thatcher played French Horn in all three of these films.
Okay, you went deep, and that's a winner.
Oh, man. Did you use the special IMDb formula to discover that?
I most certainly did. Because,
amazing.
I'm used to punching in our movies and getting nothing, but this time it's like, here's several. James Thatcher performed the score for all three of the films, yeah.
I know.
He
doesn't play baseball or golf or football, but he is this podcast's MVP.
Yeah. So I guess like in Hollywood, if you need a French horn in your score, he's the only person you're allowed to contract. So.
Wow. Okay. I went with guys named Roy.
I considered that one.
Yeah. Also, in a broader scope, guys starting with R and ending in Y, main characters. You got Roy and Rudy, and then Roy.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, Roy. Best death.
I'm going with Harriet Byrd. Murder suicide.
Harriet Byrd. I knew you didn't pick that.
I thought John would. I thought that was John's.
No, it is not. Okay, Rhett. Best death.
It's Bum Bailey. He runs through a freaking wall in a baseball.
I almost
made out of plywood and apparently dies. Like, why did he die from that? Like, what did he impale himself on the other side of that wall?
Yeah.
And then what do they do? They're like, the very next game, we're just going to dump his ashes and then we're going to play ball.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they did not like have any service at all for Bum Bailey. It's like, oh, well, this guy died. All right, let's play baseball again.
Yeah, and also so, Michael Madsen just crushes this part. He's just so perfect in it. It's just like, I love him. He's so great in it.
He's great.
Can I guess yours, John?
Oh, yeah, I guess mine.
Yeah, is it D-Bob who dies from autoerotic asphyxiation?
Is that John Favreau?
Yeah.
Yes. Very good guess. I can't believe you got it. You nailed it. No, my honorable mention is, what's his name, Pete, that Rudy Pete. Lit on fire.
Yeah, was my... He didn't light him on fire. He just didn't get him the water in time to put it out.
Yeah, he just refrained from the from the water.
You're burning. Burning so much.
No, but my winner is the QB for Georgia Tech or whoever that Rudy tackled at the end of the game.
He got tackled by Rudy.
Yeah.
He has to go his whole life. Dead. His career's over. The death of his career.
Yeah, he did see Rudy coming. Rudy spent 25 years running up to him, like just a charge worth 25 years of tackling. So, yeah, that guy's his dead.
Teammates were like, "You got sacked by a dude who's 5'6" walk on."
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, did you guys ever hear or see the YouTube video on the history of the Georgia Tech Cumberland football game?
No.
Is that the 100-0 game?
No, this is 222-0.
Yeah, 222-0. Yeah,
I've heard that score.
I've never seen the video. Is there? There's not footage of the game, is there?
No, but the video that they do for it is pretty incredible. It's just insane.
Do they reenact it?
With props, sort of. Yes, but it's.
Do they do the electronic football thing? Where you plug it in and all the football players vibrate.
Not really. But the craziest part is Georgia Tech only racked up like 400 or 500 yards, and they scored that many. Anyway, you guys should look at it.
I'm looking it up.
It's really their average starting position was on Cumberland's like 12 yard line or something crazy like that.
Happened in 1916, John. So there you go.
Yeah, the coach of Georgia Tech was Joe Heisman. Really fascinating.
Was punting
story.
Not allowed?
I don't know. You'd really got it. It takes like 15 minutes. You really need to YouTube it.
Send
really
me the link. Send me the link. I'll add it to the show notes.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Okay. Next, Roy, best villain.
Okay, it's Mitchell. Because if Mitchell doesn't egg on Roy Hobbs, then Roy Hobbs doesn't strike him out, and then Roy Hobbs doesn't get shot by Harry Bird.
Right, right. And Mitchell doesn't rip off the end of Key Largo.
That's right.
All right. Rhett, do you have a best villain?
No, you go first.
Okay. It's definitely one of the guys in Rudy, the priest at Rudy's high school, I guess. Who
won't let him on the bus?
Who did everything possible? He's like, yeah, he won't let him on the bus. He's like, well, what? Can I just see Notre Dame? He's like, no, you can't see that. You can't even see. You can't, don't look at it. You've seen enough of this one. Yeah.
Don't look at it.
You got a family in South Bend? Well, no. Well, you can't go then.
Like, what demon?
That's pretty hard.
Is this priest living with? Yeah. Is possessed by. Okay. Okay. I sent that. Thank
so my, yeah. So I had a honorable mention to the judge.
Yes.
I have a runner up to Rudy's brother who takes his girl while he's out
that's good.
College,
yeah.
Which is pretty hardcore. Because they've known each other since they were like 10 or whatever, right? And then my winner is Don Johnson, just because he's sponsored by Infiniti. not Mercedes, not a Porsche, that's Infiniti.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, like Infiniti, I've never been in an Infiniti car, but it is just, you know, it's like not as good as those other cars, but it's like, but it's like, it's something like that guy would drive. It's yeah, like, oh exactly. Yeah, I drive an Infiniti. Yeah. It's like specifically for that guy to say he drives an Infiniti. Okay, whatever. That's good. Okay. This is a good one. I'm really, okay. Rhett, what do you have for best hero?
It's Roy Hobbs.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing this one. I'm playing this one straight. It's just Roy Hobbs.
Okay. Yeah. Me too, actually. My best hero is Harriet Byrd, the sports murderer.
because he wasn't the first guy she killed, right?
Yes. Like her plan, let me just get this straight. Her plan was to just murder everyone in sports, right? She's like working down the line. She hated sports.
She wanted the best whoever was.
Like the best from every sport, yep.
Yeah.
Right. And so, okay, because that was another question. I might ask this question later, but because they read the newspaper reports of – because we could look at it two ways, right? There are newspaper reports of like the best football player was murdered by somebody and the best like bowler was murdered by somebody and then Roy Hobbs was murdered by someone. But then Harriet killed herself. So are we to believe that she either got the best ever, she's the best athlete ever, so her work was done so she killed herself, or is it that like that was her assignment or whatever? Like these are all different people murdering people.
Oh, I don't think
and
so.
And then
I think
they
it's all
kill
her.
Themselves, yeah.
But I think that it's off screen, but she is the best at volleyball ever, and so she takes herself out.
Okay, sure. So she was next on her own list.
She was next on her own list, yeah. Okay.
Well, good for her. She's my hero. Okay, Roy, best goof.
Okay, honorable mention. Bump Bailey dies, and then there's a batting practice. During this batting practice, Bump Bailey is seen in the background wandering around. So
either
it's possibly his ghost. Yeah. But my favorite movie goof, right before the final home run, Roy Hobbs breaks Wonder Boy, right? He gets the Savoy Specials, the bat that he's given. But the bat that is shown hitting the home run is still Wonder Boy.
Oh, you can see Wonder Boy.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with that's an incorrectly regarded as goof. I'm going to say that it's a spiritual moment and the bat was reforged. The sword was destroyed. It has been remade. It takes over this. In spirit, takes over the Savoy Special. We see the name change.
But how about this? What's his name? Little Billy or whatever his name is.
Savoy.
Oh, his name is Savoy.
Yeah.
Savoy wrote Savoy Special on one side of the bat, but on the other side of the bat, he wrote Wonder Boy because, you know, that's what he based it off of.
There you go.
Okay. My goof, honorable mention, is that Robert Duvall, he consistently says, are you a hero or are you a goat? Which, if he knew anything about sports, he should know that goat means the greatest of all heroes.
So, and the greatest of all time.
Skip you, Rhett?
Wait, what? No, skip me?
Did you do your movie
goof,
Rhett?
No, I haven't done mine yet. But the thing is about the GOAT acronym, John, that's only come up in like the last 10 years. That didn't exist before.
It didn't exist, but he should still know. It's a goof now. It's a hindsight goof. Sure. Anyway, it's my honorable mention.
He's the bestest. He should know.
It's my honorable mention, so that's fine. We can throw it out. But my real goof is the guy they got to play a teenage Roy Hobbs looks to be about 50 years old.
Oh, it's so bad. That was a terrible decision.
Well, I think Simmons said, hey, why not get the kid who plays his son at the end of the movie to play the young Roy Hobbs?
That's
a good idea. Okay, Rhett, sorry, what was your goof?
Yeah, my number one goof is that Rudy was offsides.
Dang, I should have picked that.
That's the famous thing where like people make the poster whenever they play Notre Dame and it says Rudy was offside, which is like it's a great poster.
That would be even if he actually killed that quarterback too, that would be even better if it were offsides.
I mean, he murdered his career, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Rhett, while you're talking, what was your LOL funniest moment?
You guys gotta go first because I've got some runner-ups and stuff.
That's fine. Roy, go first.
Yeah, D-Bob shows up filthy rich in a limousine with a call girl after like 1 year of law school.
Not his call girl. It was the girl from the library. But it's an amazing scene, yes.
Big glow up from the girl from the library.
It makes no sense why he's rich. It makes no sense why he's rich.
I knew that girl from the library had a lot of potential.
She came for money. Why do you think he paid her?
Okay, my runner-up is when Roy Hobbs hits the ball and it hits the lights and the da-da-da-da-da-da, you can't hear the crowd, but it shows the crowd and it shows one guy in the crowd.
One guy.
Holy shit! Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay, but the winner, this is easy, I think, is the beginning of Tin Cup when Kevin Costner tells that riddle about the man and his father who get in a car accident and they go to the hospital and the doctor operates on the kid and the doctor says, "I can't operate on this boy, he's my son, how is that possible?" And it stumps everybody and Rene Russo comes in and says, "It's because the doctor is a woman." And then he's like, "Yeah, you're right, da 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 da." And then Romeo says, "Okay, this is Griswold. She's your 7 o'clock." And he says, "I thought I had a doctor."
Yeah, he does.
Like she missed the whole point of his whole riddle.
Yeah, she goes, "I had an appointment for a Leslie." He's like, "I thought I had an appointment with a Dr. Taylor or Dr. Griswold."
Dr. Griswold, yeah.
Dr. Griswold.
That was great. It was a great way to start the movie.
Yeah, that's a great joke. Okay, that was actually one of my runner-ups. Mm-hmm. The other one is actually from Tin Cup when he says when he shows up late for his tea time because he was drunk, mm-hmm. and he's mixed up on the tea, and he says to the starter, he's like, "Do I have time for a quick bucket?" Like he wants to go hit a bucket of balls. It's like an off-headed comment. But the winner for me is when Bob Bailey doesn't catch the ball and he comes, he's like, "I lost in the sun," and Wilford Brimley looks up at the clouds, it was blinding.
Blinding. Okay, perfect. Alright. Alright, Roy, what's your most surprising WTH?
So this is probably isn't the best one, but I decided to go with Roy almost dying from the cream puff. It's just weird to me that like she just had like a poison cream puff on hand.
Right, and so also the poison, does it react to silver bullets too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mythology, right?
I don't know.
I think so, I don't know.
Huh. Okay, Rhett, surprising moment?
So I thought, I will always, I finally landed on, like, when I saw the movie for the first time, what was like, holy crap, what just happened moment was what I decided on. I go with Barbara Hershey, like, killing him, like shooting him. Like,
yeah. And she has good gun form too, don't you think?
And yeah, and it also, for because I saw one as a kid, I did not understand what was going on for many rewatches until I was like kind of like figured out, oh, okay, so she was crazy. And yeah, I was so confused by that. I was like, wait, she shot him, but why was she dead on the street? I didn't realize that she had jumped out the window.
Yeah.
I didn't get all of that. So that's my WTH moment.
That's pretty good. I went with, I think mostly because I hadn't seen Tin Cup, and so I, you know, like, so everything was surprising because it was new. I think just the scene at the end when he, you know, hit the ball 5 times into the lake. I did not know that's what was going to happen, that he'd just keep going.
It's pretty incredible. It's like the first time you see it, you're like, what is he doing? Like, if you're invested in the movie, you're like, like, it takes your breath away. You're like, oh my God. And then, yeah, it's a great twist on a sports movie ending, because there's only, I mean, how many ways can you end a sports movie?
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of a great way to end one.
It is a great way, but also kind of on the minus side, at that point he had Rene Russo, which is the whole point of everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, who cares about anything after that point? I mean, he got Rene Russo, and that was like, you know, two-thirds of the way through the movie. So it left him the ultimate freedom to just be a jerk at the U.S. Open, which is all of our dreams, I think.
Yes.
Okay, Roy, best scene.
Okay, you do this. Okay, whatever. So my honorable mention is the final home run in The Natural. Mm-hmm. But the one I'm picking is Iris Stands Up at Old Ebbett Field.
And so, like, how did that reporter get, like, that shot of Iris standing up? You know? Like, it was in the paper the next day. Did they have, like, the whole APUPI squad of photographers just, like, taking shots of the crowd?
Well, so she stands out because it's the west side of the stadium at LaBelle Edwards Stadium, and no one stands up.
Exactly, John. It's a great analogy, so you can understand it.
She's in the old person stands. Okay.
She's in the old person section.
Before you're going to sit down, it catches the eye of the photographer. He's like, what is that lady standing up for? I better take her picture.
But, so you add to that scene, like, her explanation later when he says, why did you stand up? And she says, what did she say? I couldn't watch you fail or something like that. Anyway, it's super good. So that's the best. So anyway, but you guys, what do you say?
If she couldn't watch and fail, why didn't she just leave the game? All right, Rhett, best
so
mine,
scene. Yeah, I'll go. So mine are, I have the same two, but I flipped them. So her standing up was my runner-up, and my winner was the final home run.
Yeah, it's the final home run. That's mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I did mention, if you guys read my letterbox, that's all I said, pretty much, is my letterbox was, I hate baseball, and I've seen The Natural like 30 times, but why do I lean forward in my seat so far whenever I see that scene? All right, Rhett, best actor.
I had two. Mm-hmm. But I decided I disqualified Don Johnson because I don't think he's acting. I think he's just being himself. So I'm going a little... I'm going to go with... Michael Madsen. I think he's just hamming it up, throwing fastballs. He's like, what do you want me to do? You want me to apologize? Like, it's just incredible. I just needed to give him another mention if we didn't talk about him enough, because I also like Brimley. It was him or Brimley was kind of my final two.
Okay, no, that's good. Okay, Roy, you have an actor.
I'm going with Barbara Hershey in her short but memorable role as Harriet Byrd.
She's got crazy eyes.
Yeah, she has crazy
eyes. Yeah, you can't fake that. Okay, all right. We're going to have a Barbara Hershey marathon of Beaches and Hannah, her sisters, later. Okay, I didn't write down their names. I didn't do enough research. But honorable mention is the Losing is a Disease guy.
The freak?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Terrible. My winner is the... is the girl in Rudy, the girl behind the counter at the mailroom for 4 entire years, just giving encouraging smiles to Rudy, and poor girl, she had the same crappy campus job for 4 years.
It's probably a pretty good job. How do you know?
It probably is pretty good. I guess I would have held on to it. Okay, Red. Okay. Okay, do you have any unanswered questions so far?
Am I supposed to?
No.
What do you mean by unanswered questions?
Do you have any questions that you want to ask? Like, Roy and I will answer whatever questions you have about these movies.
Were you on your phone while you watched Tin Cup?
I was on my phone 10% of Tin Cup.
Okay. That's a respectable amount. I would have allowed up to, like, 20.
Okay,
but
thanks.
That's respect. Were you on your phone at all during The Natural?
I don't think I was.
So see, that's the thing. The acceptability for The Natural is like 0%. Like, you should not be on your phone at all. They should take it from you if you ever watch it in theater. Like, it should be zero. Because, one, there's a lot of nuance you have to catch in there. And it's, you know, you have to pay attention. But, two, it's just out of respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right.
We haven't gotten all the questions yet, though, right?
No, we're not quite done. Okay. Yeah.
Because I have more answers.
Yeah.
So.
Are you asking, is it my question?
Yeah, do you have any questions?
Okay, who's the best there ever was?
The Whammer.
No, not in the movies. Just who's the best there ever was?
Any at baseball. Sport? At baseball. Or any sport.
Any sport.
That's easy.
Iverson?
No.
I don't know. Sam Snead, I'm guessing.
No. It's Michael freaking Jordan. Put some respect on his name. Speaking of, it's been exactly 1 year since the documentary came out that's kind of saved me in COVID. It was a bright spot during the early COVID days.
Right.
And I saw some clips people were posting yesterday and today, and I was like, oh, yeah, that documentary is absolutely incredible. Like, it's – and as a jazz fan, it's painful. But as a fan of greatness, it's absolutely incredible. Highly recommend you watch it if you haven't.
JR, have you seen it?
I haven't.
It's
awesome.
It's really good. I will say, you know, despite Michael Jordan kind of controlling it and being in charge of it, personally, I feel like he did not come off too well.
That's part of the Jordan persona. He degaffs. He doesn't care. Like, he's like, I am who I am. Mm-hmm. And they do this technique, which now all documentaries are going to steal, which you're going to love, JR. Is he? They interview Jordan a few times, and they'll interview Jordan, and then they'll go interview like Gary Payton. And they'll ask Gary Payton stuff, and they'll get him on camera. And then they'll put the footage on an iPad, hand it to Jordan, have him watch it, and then get his instant reaction. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
You ever want to see Jordan disdainfully laugh at all of humanity?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's him laughing at Gary Payton saying that he could have handled Jordan. He's like, what is he talking about? Type of stuff. Highly recommend. But yeah, it's definitely Michael Jordan.
Okay, I have three very important questions for you.
Oh, you didn't answer my question, John.
Oh.
No, you did not.
Gretzky?
Ooh. Okay, that's fascinating. So I'm going to go with, and this kind of matches Roy Hobbs, where potential that was lost, right? I'm going to go with Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, that's up there. That's
okay.
Way up there, because he played two sports, and he was phenomenal in both sports, and he did things you would never see, and it is kind of in a Roy Hobbs theme.
Lionel Alzado?
Do you remember when he like came back and was like, "Yeah, I'm coming back. I'm gonna make it back." And it was the roids, but
Lyle Alzado.
Who's the
Can't believe John knows who that is.
Who's the actually? Didn't Bo Jackson end Lyle Alzado's career? I think there was a turnover and Bo Jackson tackled by Alzado or somebody. Maybe it was Bosworth. Was it Brian Bosworth?
I think you're thinking Bosworth, and I don't think it ended his career, but it was supposed to be a major showdown between the two, and Bo Jackson just completely owned him.
Who is the greatest in Stone Cold starring Brian Bosworth?
It was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, no, here's my answer. Latimer. Is it Latimer? Was he the greatest? The offensive lineman who painted his face in the final...
In the program. Oh, man, that rewatch was so much fun, like 2 weeks ago.
I can't believe I remember Latimer's name from when I watched it with you in college.
Have you seen it since? Have you seen it in the last...
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it since.
It's on Prime. It is so good. It is, like, dialed up. They, like... I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be kind of hokey stuff, but no, they dial it up. You're like, oh, wow, that's totally, like, crazy. Like, okay. It's awesome.
I'll have to watch it. Dang it. Okay, I have three important questions for you guys. Okay, first of all, Harriet Byrd, she kills two other people, then she kills Roy Hobbs. And you guys kind of answered this, but I want to make sure. Why the suicide after Roy Hobbs?
She was done. She had fulfilled her mission.
Yeah.
Because he was the greatest?
Maybe, but also...
Or she got one in every sport.
She hit the cycle.
Okay.
She was done.
Okay, I want you guys to give me the details of those lost 16 years of Roy Hobbs. He was in the hospital for two. He was in the minors for one. That accounts
He just says he bounced around and was embarrassed, and it was the depression. So he was just kind of the lost... He probably lived in Hooverville for a while. You know, what? Like, he just bounced around.
But his mom and Glenn Close had no idea where he was that whole time.
He was so, yeah, exactly. He was so. That was back when men would disappear for real. Like, go out and get cigarettes, never show up, and you never see him again the rest of your life, right? So, yeah, I do think he just bounced around.
So you think maybe he may have known that Glenn Close may have had maybe he wasn't playing dumb. So. That was his cigarettes.
I don't think so.
It's like, oh, I'm glad I got shot, so now I can disappear because I'm embarrassed. But even though, like, why is it embarrassing to get shot? Okay. Okay, my last question is, describe Memo's lovemaking techniques that disabled Roy Hobbs from playing baseball.
I just abstained from answering the question in sort of way.
I just thought it was a good question. I guess you don't have to answer.
We just know that women weaken legs, and so I don't know.
I'm thinking there's something she specifically did to his left side.
Yeah, it's constantly touching his scar, right?
Yeah, what's up with that? Like, yeah, I just touched you right here where there's this, like, hole in you.
Yeah. where later you will have ketchup.
She, like, I think, yeah, she like, needled out the stitches in his sleep, you know? It's like, oh, this is going to burst open soon.
Okay, so I have a question right to Basinger. So,
yeah.
She's basically a high-end call girl or prostitute, woman of the night. Could you see that or no?
I think so, right? I mean, because she's just between fitting of
Gus is kind of her pimp in a high-end sort of way.
Right, yeah. It's the worst kind of prostitute, the one you don't know is a prostitute. But but like Gus is fronting it, like he's controlling it. So someone else is controlling your girlfriend, yeah.
So in LA Confidential, she's definitely a prostitute, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In 8 Mile, I'm going to say that she's probably turned some tricks when she played that character in that movie.
Yeah.
What about Never Say Never Again? Would you consider her a high-end, paid-for sex worker?
I'm not as familiar with Never Say Never Again as I am with Thunderball, but I can see something there. I feel like she is a prostitute that just got too deep into, like, one of her Johns, you know? Yeah, okay. So I can say that, yeah.
I have a lot of questions. One, why are we making this beautiful woman into a prostitute in so many films? That's kind of my first question.
Because that's like, what we want our prostitutes to look like.
Oh, my gosh. My second question is, which one is what is her best role? Probably LA Confidential?
So
she was really good in 8 Mile.
We haven't mentioned Batman yet, but probably... Probably, I'm glad you mentioned Ellie. It's probably Ellie. I think she won an Oscar for that, right?
Oh, yeah, she did. That's right. Yeah, she did.
Yeah, no, she was good in that. She was good in that.
So, I mean, I have this hang up where, like, and I don't know why, but I cannot not compare her to Michelle Pfeiffer. I just can't. I don't know if it's because they were in back to back Batmans, but
Michelle
Pfeiffer
on
is better.
Top? Yeah. What's okay. that? Yeah, she's on top. I agree. I'm more of a Michelle Pfeiffer person.
I mean, Kim Basinger is on like my Mount Rushmore. She's absolutely stunning. Anyways,
she's all right. Cool World. We forgot about Cool World. Roy, would you say Cool World is up there for the best Basinger performance?
That movie was so good, John.
Cool World was ahead of its time. Let's give it some credit.
It was behind its times.
How many years have we been doing this podcast? That may be my least favorite movie we've watched for the entire podcast.
More than Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed was pretty bad.
I think Cool World, Assassin's Creed, and Dream a Little Dream are the Mount Rushmore of the worst movies we've watched.
Oh, Dream a Little Dream was just... Okay. I get angry thinking about it, so I gotta stop.
Yeah, me too.
So, what's the next award?
All right. We're diverging. Let's get taglines in. Okay, of these three, what were the best taglines, Roy?
But I have to enunciate it right. So it's golf pro, love amateur.
Yes.
No, there was no. Was there a question mark?
I'm adding it.
I picked that one too. But only because that's the only one I could read off the posters. All the other writing was too small.
So I picked that one because it's I'm a dad joke playing words aficionado. And it's a great one. Golf pro, love amateur. It's just great. Like somebody wrote that and put it on a poster. I mean, it's incredible.
That's good. No, I like it a lot. Okay, Roy, let's go ahead with your alternate taglines. You have them ready.
Wait, are we going to read the other taglines or no?
Just the fake ones. Oh, do you want to know what the real ones are?
Yeah,
no, I
don't
know what they are. I have them.
No, I don't have them. Go ahead, read them.
You have them, Rhett? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Natural had 4 of them. They're all terrible. The best there was, exclamation point.
The best
boyhood dreams, a bat made from a tree struck by lightning, and most importantly, a never-ending passion for the game. That's not a tagline, that's a sentence.
What is the secret of your power?
Okay, so I think on the poster, it's so hard to read. From an age of innocence comes a hero for today.
Yeah, that's the last one. Yeah, so I guess there's... And then the other one was, he lived for a dream that wouldn't die, which is terrible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the Rudy ones, they're on IMDb, by the way.
Rudy's like a story. Let me see.
I didn't. Usually I look them up, but I didn't. Yeah.
When people say dreams don't come true, tell them about Rudy and his SEC violations.
You tell them Rudy sent you.
They also use, sometimes a winner is a dreamer who just won't quit, which is terrible. And the last one is, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And I'm like, they did not really use that for a tackle.
Wait, once you can balance a tack hammer on your head, you can head your foes with a balanced attack. That's what it is.
Okay, when are we going to watch that? Okay, The Natural. Not nearly as boring as real baseball. Okay, Rudy, you're going to hate him, but in the end, you'll hate him less. Tin Cup. Kevin probably shows his butt. Those are my taglines.
Wow, so you thought of Tin Cup before you saw the movie.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Rhett, do you have new taglines?
So I didn't totally understand because you didn't explain to me what this category was.
Sorry.
But I can make some up on the fly. So The Natural, I'm going to go with The Natural, or is he?
Okay.
my tagline alternate for Rudy is Daniel.
That's a good alternate, yeah.
And then Tin Cup is Clank.
Clank. Oh, that's good. Clank. Okay, my tagline for The Natural is, if your pitch is demolished by an assassination attempt, you could always try your hand at hitting the ball. Okay, my tagline for Rudy is, if only his stature were as big as his heart, and his ability to whine for years on end. My tagline for Tin Cup is, you guys probably think golf is dumb, but apparently Rene Russo is really, really into golfers, so... There.
Alright.
Alright, one thing left, right?
Best quote.
Best quote, yes.
Wait, before you get to best quote, I looked up Dream a Little Dream because I'd never heard of this movie. It looks terrible.
It's so bad. Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
We have to watch this.
Cool World. Oh, is it worse than Cool World? It's really close. Oh.
You have to see Dream a Little Dream. You have to see it.
It's got the Coreys and Harry Dean Stanton.
Corey Haim actually, he's tolerable in that film.
Yeah.
Have you guys done License to Drive yet?
No, I assumed you were going to make us watch License to Drive. I was expecting that.
All right, next time I come on, I already have a theme for the ones that I can fit that one in there. We could definitely do that.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is your big chance to do, you know, to have your freedom. See, the fun of our podcast, right? You don't know because you never listen. But
hi.
But the fun of it is, like, the guests have no choice. They usually have no choice of what they talk about. So, yeah. You can angle for License to Drive in the polls. I think on our Dream a Little Dream podcast, I mentioned that you like License to Drive. So you can listen to that and wait to hear your name. Okay.
Best quote.
Go, Rhett.
I have three.
Okay. That's fair.
Honorable mention, I should have been a farmer. It hits for some reason from Wolford. Runner up is Father Kavanaugh saying, I've been the 30 years of studying the scriptures or whatever. He says, I've learned two incontrovertible facts. One, there's a God, and two, I'm not him.
Yes, that's good.
I've used that before. And then I have to go with Wilford Brimley saying, well, you're the better than any player I ever had, and you're the best GD hitter I ever saw. Suit up. I love that.
That's good. Okay, Roymond, best line.
Okay, from The Natural. I thought I could rely on your honor, and the response being, you're about to.
That's good. That's a good line. Okay, honestly, it's the only thing I forgot to pick right before we started recording, so I had to scramble really quick. But I just went really, you know, just with the Savoy. Pick me out a winner, Bobby.
Pick me out a winner, Bobby. I had that on my list, too.
Yeah. So
John, I thought you'd go with Favreau going, "Who's the wild man now?" Because it's like, like, why did he say that? And they've never talked about being a wild man, and it's just Favreau trying to get screen time.
Like, I should have. Yeah, you're right. I should have picked that. That's a good one.
All right. Yeah, you ready?
Special awards. All right. Roy, best sport?
Football.
All right. Right?
Like, if I have to watch any of these sports, it's going to be football.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
So, golf and baseball are games, not sports. I love football and soccer, but I'm going to go with basketball.
Oh, okay. I thought it was between the sports.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know that. So I'm going to go with golf.
You can justify basketball. Did they mention?
I'll go with golf because baseball is a game and Notre Dame football is boring.
That's good.
They haven't been relevant for 50 years. So there you go. Okay.
I went with golf, and this isn't in real life, but based on these movies, I think the movies presented golf as by far the funnest of the sports. Okay. What is the readiest movie? I'll go first. I'll save Rhett for last. I'm going to go with Rudy, because Rhett is almost as short as I am.
I'm 5 foot nothing and 100 and nothing.
Yeah.
So, Rhett, you're not allowed to respond here because I assume this is also going to be your favorite film unless you can distinguish the difference between the two.
Yeah. We have a category for favorite film. Did we end that way?
Oh, yeah.
We end with.
So, I figured the readiest movie was Tin Cup because Rhett probably shows his butt frequently. And, I mean, Kevin didn't, but he probably, you know, wanted to.
Good, excellent logic. Flawless logic. Yeah. All right. Rhett, let's skip you. Save you for the... Yeah.
That's fine.
If it's different at the end, just mention it at the end. Okay. Rhett, but what would you say for Battle Royale? So, if the main characters actually fought each other...
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's going to be the worst Battle Royale in history because Tin Cup is drunk and can barely do anything and kind of tries to fight dirty but just keeps falling down. Hobbs is a pacifist and he's just kind of sitting to the side and won't participate. Mm-hmm. And Rudy really wants to hit somebody and goes in and tries swinging. But let's say he tries to go hit like Tin Cup or something, or let's say he tries to go hit Hobbs. Hobbs just puts his hand out and holds his helmet and he swings and can't reach him. So that's my Battle Royale. Or was I supposed to pick a winner?
So it's a draw.
Winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a draw. Okay. They all lose.
All right.
So I'm taking Rudy because one blow to Roy Hobbs's bullet wound and it's over, and then Tin Cup is too drunk. Plus Roy, but Rudy, he's tenacious. That kid never gives up. So you're in trouble. It's like a badger.
Okay. Well, interestingly, I eliminated Rudy at the very beginning because he's got no distance. You know, he's melee attack, right? But both Roy and Roy, they have ranged weapons, you know? So they're like the strikers in Dungeons & Dragons.
Got it.
So between those two, like, they can eliminate Rudy from a distance. And then from then, I'm going to go Roy from Tin Cup because he's younger than Robert Redford. And he could probably get more shots off.
He's probably been in fights, right? Like, you see, like, that dude's been in brawls.
Yeah.
Bar brawls.
Yeah, yeah. He knows how to handle himself, so. Okay, that's a battle royale. Okay, Roy, best insult?
So, from Rudy, I think someone just says, "He's so little."
He does. No, it's Favreau who says it. It's his friend. He's so little.
Nice. Okay, Rhett, do you have an insult?
I do. At the very beginning of Rudy, when they finally let him play during the credits, when they let him play football, and like he just goes past him and like hits the dirt. His brother looks back and goes, "Spaz!"
Oh, Spaz! Dang it, that's good. Yeah, no, I thought of the insult after I saw Rudy. Okay. Actually, did I? Okay, I actually went with when they're doing the exhibition with Whammer, the pitching, and I think. Let's see. I think Whammer calls the manager Rumpot. Hey, Rumpot. Yeah. And Robert Redford's like, hey, watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. And we kind of... We did Best Spectacles, right? We did that already. Okay. I think the spectacle of the Tin Cup spectacle, where he hits the 12 in a row into the lake, I think that might be the funnest, yeah. But the lights is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you guys have any other spectacles? Because we already kind of talked about it.
Not really.
All right, no. That's fine. Okay, best speech by a non-star. Roy.
Okay, so this is a two-parter because it ties together. So Roy's father saying, you've got a gift, Roy, but it's not enough. You've got to develop yourself. If you rely too much on your own gift, then you fail. And so this is important because I think Roy feels like he failed, and he spent 16 years getting over his failure. And so that speech, like we teach our kids that, but like I think we don't understand that we're teaching our kids that failure is not an option, right? So then the other bookend of that quote is Iris saying, I believe we have two lives, the one you learn with and the one you live with after that.
Yeah, I thought about that line. That's good. Okay, Rhett, you decided on this award. What's the best speech by a non-star?
It's definitely Fortune saying, you're 5'0", you're 100-0, you don't have a speck of athletic ability, but you hung out with the best football players in all the land. That's the speech I would use in my last lecture to try to motivate people. I was like, look, you may not think you're anything, but you're at a D1 school. It's got a great reputation. You can do whatever you want. Yeah, that was mine.
Very good.
Can I give the worst? The worst? I forgot to tell you guys it's the worst.
It's probably my best.
Is it Rudy's dad?
Yes, it is.
He sits down on the bench. You think he's going to tell me he loves him or something. He talks about how his dad had a cow farm and they all died, and you should just accept your shitty lives.
Yeah. Exactly. So bad. No, that's exactly the part I was going to get. And it's so great also, like, in relation to The Natural, when Wilford Brimley says I should have been a farmer.
Very good.
It's the worst speech ever by a father to son. You're just like, wait, does he not love, like, what? What is happening?
I enjoyed it.
Of course you did.
Okay, I think that's it for awards, everybody.
No. So the readiest character.
Oh, the readiest character.
Wait, what? That was an award?
Yeah.
We did readiest movie already. Well, I'm going to pick the same thing that I said before, which is Rudy.
Well, I'm going with David Sims because I have it on good authority that Rhett likes to yell at dogs.
Actually, Sims is pretty ready.
I love dogs. I have dogs. I do not hate dogs or old people.
I feel Rhett, I feel like you would come up to an old acquaintance and say, hey, will you join me in this tournament, and then have them be your caddy?
All right.
Oh, this is mean.
to that person.
I don't know. I don't know who I would be. I hadn't thought about. I missed that part of the categories. I don't know which one is the most like me.
You're Polly from Rocky.
No. Can I be Pete? Can I be Rudy's friend who goes with his brother?
Yeah.
Actually, no. Pete's a good character. That's good.
Pete's a great character.
Yeah, no. That I see Pete in you before he caught fire. That's a good character. Okay. All right. Now, is that it?
That's it.
I have one honorable mention that I forgot to tell you guys.
Okay.
On the spot, if you had to pick a prop from one of these movies, what would you want to have in your house?
Oh, Wonder Boy. It's not even close.
I think,
Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy is the first thing that pops into my mind. I'm trying to think.
So, surprise, I'm having Wonder Boy created right now.
Yes. Yes, you are. Really? Can you make two? Whoever's created it, can you get a discount on two? Because I would be interested.
So I just ended up buying just a plain maple bat, and I've got a friend who has a wood burner.
So,
are you going to do the wood burning?
I am not. My friend is doing the wood burning.
Okay, how careless is your... I mean, is he going to, pause the screen and pencil the outline and just, make sure it's all right before he starts wood burning? Or is he just going to just do Wonder Boy in his own handwriting?
Yeah, that's why I sent a screenshot of the bat, so I'm hoping for the best. But okay. Anyway, it's not actually for me. It's a gift I'm giving someone. But
dude, I can get it on Etsy for $90.
So like I that was my first stop was on Etsy, and like the guy I emailed, he never sent me any message back, and I think there's only one guy, but so $90 is a lot. So I'm getting it for like more. 30.
Yeah, I think the neighbor kid that I threw the ball and beat him, he actually does wood shop and has a big thing in his garage. I'm totally going to do that.
That's sweet. Yeah, I think Wonder Boy, either Wonder Boy or one of the working giant lights from the Natural.
Well, I didn't even, for some reason, I didn't think of Wonder Boy. I went straight to the uniforms. I went straight to Hobbs's uniform, which
you can get that.
You have, that. And I know I can get it. Yeah, but I want the full uni. I want like the pants, the hat, and the jacket. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely getting the jersey this year.
The jersey's awesome too, because it comes with the 1939 Centennial patch, and of course it comes with the Lightning patch. It's awesome.
Can I pick Rene Russo?
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, the 7-iron would be pretty cool too.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Any other last minute awards?
Yet.
Okay, fine. Okay, Rhett, we're going to round robin this. So you give us your third favorite of these, which I know is going to be difficult for you, and then we'll.
No,
give...
it's easy.
Okay.
My third favorite is going to be Tin Cup.
Yeah, of course it's Tin Cup. Of course you don't like Tin Cup. All right,
hey, totally bluffed on the poll.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Oh right, yeah.
Can I say like when I saw that I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
It's a great poll. It's a John Madsen poll.
All right. Yeah, number three is Tin Cup.
Number three is Tin Cup. Okay. My number three is The Natural.
Just love contrarian.
You know I'm lying. Number three is Rudy. You know I'm going to... Why am I not going to pick Rudy? You guys know how I feel. It's Rudy.
Okay.
All right.
Well, John, what's your number two?
My number two, I'm going to go Tin Cup.
Oh, coming back to me, my number two is Rudy.
Two is Rudy. Okay, Rhett, how official are you going to make this? What's your number two?
Rudy.
Right. Okay. So, as little faith as you had in me, I think we objectively concluded that The Natural is the best of these three.
Oh man, The Natural is such a good movie. I love The Natural so much, and it's definitely top 10. I don't know if I can sneak it into my top 5, but I love that movie so much.
Yeah, it's in like top 5 for me.
Yeah. Like, yay! Rhett, thank you so much. I've been trying to get us to watch The Natural for like a solid year, and I can never squeeze it in. So I'm thrilled that we got to watch it.
It's awesome.
Very good. Okay. Well, that wraps her up. And normally we'd say, hey, we can't wait to have you join us for next time. But you were like, nope, I'm doing the Johnson & Johnson one and done. And you're out of here.
So you ready to call Brooke? She's waiting.
Is she waiting? Okay, let's try to get Brooke on the horn. Okay, sorry, Brooke. And I told her 9:45. We're only 27 minutes off.
Do I know Brooke?
No.
Hello.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi,
hey,
Brooke.
How you been?
Hi, guys. I'm well. How are you?
We're doing great. We just had we went a little over, so thanks for staying up. Rhett, he's on the phone right now. He just like he's not daring enough to go two in a row. So you're next on the podcast in 2 weeks when we record, and you are picking your three movies. And I've had you and Roy keep it so secret from me what your three movies are, and now I can't wait to hear what they are.
Well, are you ready for them now?
Yes, go ahead.
Woo-hoo.
Three movies that I picked are three of my most favorite of all time. It is The Philadelphia Story.
I saw it coming.
Yeah, I almost didn't, but the guys on the other podcast gave me such a hard time that I was like, all right, I have to. I did Sliding Doors and Lost in Translation.
Okay, all right, okay. We're so glad that we got... We don't do enough girl movies on this podcast, and we're totally doing it now. I've seen Lost in Translation, but it was when I was very young. And
what?
It's well, as young
2003.
As
I, how young?
What are you talking about?
I was in my 20s.
Okay. So I've seen all these movies, so I'm excited to watch these. Although Sliding Doors I haven't seen in a really long time.
Sliding Doors is famous. I've never seen Sliding Doors, and I don't think I've seen Philadelphia Story, although I specifically heard Brooke talk about Philadelphia Story with great adoration. So
there's some movies that I think that not enough people have seen, and they're so good. So I had some other backups that were really good, and I tortured myself for a week whittling it down to these three, but I feel pretty solid on them.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk real quick about The Struggle, because she gave me a list of 50 movies that she was looking at. And then the final six also included some super winners. So Empire Records, which I've never seen, but looks good. But then also Joe versus the Volcano and The Watcher in the Woods.
Watcher in the Woods, right?
Joe versus the Volcano was actually a pitch hitter. Like that was
number seven.
So it was Watcher in the Woods, Empire Records, and what was that other one? Benny and June.
That's right. It was Benny and June.
That was a favorite. Yeah, JR and I used to watch Benny and June with our high school girlfriends, I think, at the Dollar Theater a bunch of times. Okay, that's pretty good. Empire Records, I'm in and out on. I kind of think I'm just like 3 months too old to really enjoy Empire Records, so that's fine. Joe versus the Volcano is a Madsen favorite, by the way. So I know Joe versus the Volcano very well. So any reference you want to make to that?
Would you like to hear one of my poems?
Yes. Would you like to hear it again? Yeah, I like it.
My dad says I'm kind of Liberty Gibbet.
So the next category we're doing that Brooke is also joining us on is we're resurrecting the great films that bombed to the box office. Wow. And I was so excited because I thought Joe versus the Volcano for sure, right? But it pulled a profit. Not a big profit, but it made like $5 million or something. So that's locked in.
We're doing – so after we talk Brooke movies, we're talking movies that bombed at the box office.
Yeah, so Brooke, you're going to get to pick one of those movies, by the way. Our requirements are it has to have a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it has to have lost money at the domestic box office.
Right. Yeah. There are probably lots of
those. I've been trying to go through, so I will probably torture myself again.
Yeah, well, you have two more weeks to torture yourself.
Oh, good.
Two and a half, because we'll be back to Thursday.
Yeah.
With Brooke, so.
Okay. Well, that's perfect. Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Brooke. We're wrapping up, so you can either hang up or just, you know.
Hey, well, real quick, Brooke, I don't know if you watch sports movies at all, but have you seen The Natural, Rudy, or Tin Cup?
I've seen Rudy. I haven't. What is The Natural?
Robert Redford baseball movie?
No.
Oh,
okay. And how about the rom-com Golf Tin Cup?
I don't think I have.
I think you might like Tin Cup, knowing what little I do with you.
Of those three, then, your favorite would be Rudy.
Yes. Of those three. I don't know. I'm going to go with Tin Cup. That sounds like more of my jam.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't go with Rudy.
Yeah, we're going to go with Tin Cup.
Cool.
Alrighty.
All right. No, good to know. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Brooke. We can't wait to talk to you in a few weeks.
Yep.
And I look forward to talking to you again.
Yay! Bye. Thanks so much, Brooke.
Yeah, Brooke, if you're still there, we at least ought to say that you are from the Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye podcast, which is really good. So go subscribe and listen to that. And I think you guys are about to dive into Dolly Parton and Disney princess movies.
We just did Snow White this evening, so come hear all the controversy and how I like it, and JB doesn't. So.
Oh, gosh. You know, you guys don't like... Of course you guys don't like Snow White over there. Okay, that's fine.
I do. So...
Interesting. You know what movie I don't know if I've seen in like 50 years? It's Snow White. Maybe this would be a good reason to watch Snow White again, see if I agree with you guys.
I think I'm committed to Sleeping Beauty. John, I don't know if... And I think also The Little Mermaid. I don't know if you've signed up for anything, John.
I haven't signed up. I'll do whatever's left.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's any room left, I'll do whatever's left. I'll totally...
Always. Yeah. We'll always make room.
Thank you. Cool.
Thank you,
bro. You got Sleeping Beauty? Oh, I can't believe you gave it to him.
I'm sorry. He stole it.
I asked John, like they put it up on their website, and I responded, and you were busy washing your tights.
So. Like I have time to go to all these websites. I might barge in on that one. Okay, no.
Okay.
Okay. Settle down. We're wrapping up. Rhett, are you still awake?
Yeah.
Okay. Rhett, how do we reach you on your podcast? Do you want to plug it, or do you not want to because you haven't done one in like 11 years?
No, I don't need to plug anything.
It's called Going for Zero. It's a podcast. It's really good, especially the ones that I'm on.
You're on like 85% of them. I know. Ridiculous.
It's fun. Rhett, you're a good talker and you did well, and I'm sorry you have your anniversary and you're leaving us, and also this is your only free time to do this podcast at all. Come back and manipulate the polls to be back, whatever. That'd be fun.
I look forward to manipulating the polls.
All right, cool. Roy, anything else?
Hey, yeah, if you stumbled on this podcast, this is a lot of fun, but go to our Facebook page because you can help choose the categories and the movies. And this time we let Rhett pick three movies, but usually like you guys vote on bizarre categories like movies that bombed at the box office, but were really good. That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
So join us on Facebook. Also, if you're listening to this for the first or the 100th time and you have not rated us on iTunes, then 5 stars is what you need to do. So go do that, and then you can say whatever you want as far as a review. We're good with that. John, you have a phone number so we can put their voice on the air and make them famous?
I was just going to ask if you remember the phone number.
I don't remember the phone number.
All right. Well, anyway, the phone number is 801-896-4542. 801-896-4542. It spells out something that's hard to remember. So maybe just remember the numbers. 801-896-4542. And you can leave any kind of message you want, as long as you give us 5 stars.
Yay. Is there anything else? Is that all the admin-ish?
Did we say the blog address?
Oh, yeah. So the blog where I love the blog. I love it when you post the podcast and we can go to the blog. It's yoursminetheirspodcast.blogspot.com.
Yeah. Direct downloads there. So if you like subscribe to iTunes, sometimes it starts with like podcast 5, but you can hear podcast 1 by directly downloading, which is usually what I do. I like the power of directly downloading a podcast, but you know, subscribe if nothing else. If you subscribe, then you don't have to use that power. Okay, I think that's it. Okay, well, this has been Yours, Mine, and Theirs. We'll be back in 2 weeks, as we always are. Everybody stay safe. Everybody get vaccinated. I was vaccinated today, and I still feel just like my normal self, and I haven't lost a step at all. But then I didn't have that many steps to begin with, but, you know, whatever. And Rhett's at that place. We're going to be talking to Brooke next time. Roy's always here, and I'm always here, too. I have nothing else to say.
So thank you, Rhett, for joining us.
Yep, pick me out a winner, Bobby. Hunt for Red October.
did you just skip to Hunt for Red October?
No, I listened to two of the three. One of the movies I didn't know.
The Red Shoes?
That sounds right.
No one likes the Red Shoes.
I've never heard of it.
I may as well take a minor Gatorade break really quick.
All right.
Hang on.
Buddy, there.
Wait, does he just edit the sound of the podcast? Like, how does that work?
I think so. Can I be real honest? I don't listen to the podcast since I did them live.
What if our listeners can hear this? Let us know that he did not edit this part out.
Yeah. You guys got to send us a message because I'm never going to know. So
when did it come out? 93,
yep. But, like, it was significantly better than I remembered. And at the end, I was, well, let's just say that I was watching the movie in the rain so no one could see the tears.
Yeah, it's good. It's a really good movie. I don't know why people hate on it. John?
Wait, were you guys talking about Rudy Without Me?